kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Oh, I'm so glad I started streaming just a step away.
Oh, you started streaming? Really?
Yeah.
Well, then they just heard me cough a few times. Sweet. I didn't know, so I didn't bother saying anything.
Good for you. I'll fucking teach you. Oh, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, CJ. CJ, how are you doing today?
Just coming off of being sick, but today I'm actually all right. So, you know,
I'm sick, too. Sick of your shit. Have a good night, everybody.
Well, I'm sick of your Japanties.
No one will get that at all.
I know. That's what's great.
Fun show lined up later on in the episode. We are going to have Mike Cook of Cybernetic Walrus dropping by to chat about their game Anti-Graviator. Yes, that's what it is. Anti-Graviator, which is on Kickstarter now. It is a kind of a blend of F-Zero style games, F-Zero Wipeout, and Split Second, which we have talked about on this show so many times over the years.
Way too many times, but yes. That game is incredible, so, I mean, it deserves all the talking we do.
It is on Kickstarter now. There's about a week and a half left. It's not looking too good for their goal, but we do cover that on the show. They say even if it doesn't make the goal, the game is too far along to not happen. The main thing that they're doing the Kickstarter for is for, like, marketing and stuff like that. So, give the show a listen and check out the Kickstarter. Hopefully we can make this happen with a week and a half left.
Yeah, my next paycheck, I'm going to drop like 20-some bucks to get an Xbox code for it.
Yeah, talking about the different tiers, there's one. What the hell one was it? Scrolling down.
There was some pretty
200 bucks, 200 euros, I guess, which translates to about 220 bucks, that you get to name a track.
That's pretty cool. Imagine, so you could come in, could you name it anything, or is there any, like, restrictions?
The SML Highway.
The SML Cuntcast.
Yeah, I don't think that one will happen. He's joking around that, you know, they clearly there's going to be some limitations. Like, he said that they didn't want to have anything like, oh, PP Kaka. I'm like, that could actually be a pretty solid name, like Lake PP Kaka. Like that, sounds like
it in like that, like just one word is pipikaka.
Yeah,
it sounds perfectly fine. It sounds like you're maybe in a Hawaiian area.
Yeah, or like some kind of Native American tribe, the pipikakas of Western Missouri.
Yeah, exactly. That's great, actually. So, the pipikaka.
I said that's actually a pretty good track name. Do that for one of the desert stages, Pipikaka Desert.
That's pretty good.
So, that's what we're gonna save up for. But it's a pretty fun chat. It's actually a shorter interview, so some people might be able to actually sit down and check out an entire interview. Good chat, cool game. Amazingly, my PC was able to run the demo.
I wanted to, enough, and I couldn't run it, or I could run it, but my controller wouldn't work with it, so I couldn't get it to play.
Dude, just hook up an Xbox One controller to your computer.
I did. And even the W key wouldn't work. I couldn't go forward. When it was telling me to go forward in the tutorial, I couldn't go forward.
And your Xbox One controller wouldn't work?
Nope. Not even the keyboard would work. I couldn't use the keyboard.
Oh, try plugging in your controller and then, like, rebooting your system and then starting up the game. I don't know. I used my Xbox One controller and it worked fine.
Yeah, I found it really weird.
So, that's user error on your part.
No, it's possible it's computer error, but...
You dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, take that, you stupid video card that couldn't even run the Surge, but then we got an Xbox code anyway.
Yeah, you fucking thing.
To be fair, I could have ran it. It just would have been 12 frames a second.
I'm excited that we're going to be covering the Surge.
I saw that you've been playing a shit ton of that, too, so we're probably going to co-op that. even though I wrote the whole thing, we're probably going to wind up co-oping that interview anyway. Or not interview. God damn it.
Review. I've been trying to get Michael Haas of Deck 13 on the show, and I was hoping to get something set up earlier in the week, but I don't know. I guess with the launch, things are just super hectic for them. I feel bad because with Evolve PR, I was like, hey, I have an interview. Michael Haas is supposed to be coming on Monday. I wanted to check to see if our show could get a copy of the game for us to review and for the interview. And then, like, on Monday, Michael's like, it's just not happening today. It's way too hectic. So I feel like a complete asshole right now with Evolve.
Yeah, that sucks. That explains that, though. Okay, I thought you just, because you didn't tell me that he actually canceled. I thought they just never replied to you saying if they were down to do the review or not.
Oh, no, he mentioned, you know, why don't we try doing something for Monday? And when I went to check in on Monday and like, hey, was there any time today that you wanted to do this? He's like, it's just way too busy.
That makes more sense.
Which is understandable. You know, they just released a game. And
yeah,
and
it's a big game.
Very small show compared to how big that game is.
Yeah, I keep seeing it everywhere. Like, it's a big game.
And then I was bummed because I didn't get it in time to get the pre-order bonus, so I just dropped $3 for the pre-order stuff anyway.
Oh, you can buy it separately? That's really cool.
Yeah. I wanted what the fuck are they?
The implants?
Implants, that's it. My brain, yeah. I'm old. I wanted the implants that beeps.
The one is shit, but... Yeah, that one's useful. Because you can't get that anywhere else. The other implant that it comes with the pre-order bonus is kind of... Like, it's pointless after, like, an hour of playing.
Yeah,
the counterweight.
I don't want to switch injectables. I would rather just, you know, have the one that I like.
I don't switch them either, but if I find one that's better, I'll get rid of the old one and then stick with the new one.
Yeah, well, for a while, I had the one that just straight up heals you and then the one that heals you over time.
Yeah, I was using both of those as well for a while.
And I would always have the wrong one equipped when I need
it. I was constantly... I ran out of them on the... Well, we should probably just save all this for the review.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. There is other stuff to take care of. A handful of news this week, not too much huge. I guess the biggest thing of the week is, surprise, Phantom Dust HD was announced and came out and was free.
Yeah, that's pretty big. But I'm sad that I haven't actually gotten a chance to play it myself, but I've heard a lot of bad things about it.
Have you?
It's just... I haven't heard specific bad things. I've just heard that, like, everybody that I've talked to that's played it says they didn't enjoy it, except for, like, Null Pulse.
I haven't tried it myself yet because, for some reason, I can't get it to download.
Weird.
I keep getting to, like, 3 or 4%, and it's like, installation stopped. I'm like, why? I've deleted it. I've reset my system, hard reset, soft reset. It just won't download, so I don't know what to do.
That's really weird. Well, I know that a lot of people were really excited, though, that was announced for free.
Yeah, that was a hell of a surprise. We knew it was coming. I honestly thought it was going to be like a $20, $30 game. And then on Monday, who was it from Xbox was like, hey, Phantom Dust HD is releasing this week. What? This week? Yeah. And it's free.
So. I've heard that it's going to have microtransactions introduced, though.
Yeah.
Or it has them.
They did go on record and say that nothing from the, like, progression and stuff like that was not changed from the original game. So it's more of, like, a convenience thing, not like a free-to-play, we're going to nickel and dime you to death kind of thing.
All right.
But I guess we'll see.
That makes more sense.
I don't know. Still, the fact that they made this game and released it for free is cool as fuck.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's better than what people are saying, because I was actually kind of interested in checking it out.
Yeah. I still want to check it out if the fucking thing will ever download for me. What other news? Medal of Honor Airborne is officially in the EA Access Vault, so that's fun.
Just in time for it to be on sale.
Indeed.
So hopefully people aren't being stupid and purchasing it and then... while it's in the vault already.
See, the part of me is, like, I can understand people who still buy stuff if it's in the vault or if it might be in the vault. Like, we all know Dead Space 2 and 3 are eventually going to be in the vault.
Oh, I meant for, like, people that already had EA Access and then they're making the mistake of purchasing it, not knowing that it was going to be in the vault, like, days later.
Like, I think it went in right before the sale. I'm not positive.
I'm pretty sure that the store page will tell you, too, if it's in EA Access, so you don't got to worry about purchasing it by mistake.
No, I have no idea. But, yeah, we all know that, like, Dead Space 2 and 3 is going to eventually be in the vault. I still bought them this week.
Yeah.
Funny, I traded in my hard copies to get credit to buy them digital because it made me money.
Yeah, I'd heard that. It was like, you could actually, especially Dead Rising, or Dead Space 3, you could get, like, the traded value was, like, $7, and you can get it for seven or six something.
Yeah, I think Dead Space 2 was $8, Dead Space 3 was $7, and if you trade stuff in towards a handful of games at GameStop, including The Surge, you get an extra 50%.
Oh, that's pretty
so
neat.
So I got 12, and 10.50, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I bought them for less than $14.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you made pretty well there. I still have yet to actually buy those, because I haven't played through the first one.
I traded a big chunk of stuff in, a lot of PlayStation stuff, because I don't have the time to play them, and I'd rather, you know, like Persona 5. You know, I wanted to get to that, and I know I'm never going to have the time for it.
That is such a long game, too. My stepbrother was playing it. It took him, like, 2 weeks, and he was nonstop playing it.
Yeah. But the trade-in value base was $25, an extra 50%. That's $37.50.
Yeah, that's pretty decent for a game that just released.
Yeah. And I kept my steelbook, clearly.
Yeah, obviously.
And I have all collector stuff.
And if you ever decide to rebuy it, you could probably get it really cheap in a few years.
Susan's asking about my Dark Souls statue. I don't have a Dark Souls statue. I have a... If you're talking about this one that I'm pointing at, that is For Honor. So maybe that's one.
It does... Now that he says it, it does actually kind of look like a Dark Souls one, though. In fact, it doesn't really make you think For Honor at all. Like, with looking at it.
I'll hold it a bit closer. I feel bad for the people listening to this because they're not going to know what the hell I'm doing. But I am... Let me switch the view so people could see it better. And then my For Honor statue that also has a Poochie amiibo. The Yarn Poochie and an AJ Styles Funko Pop.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I like mixing stuff up.
That's obvious, considering that whole room is basically a mashup.
My room is awesome.
It is cool. Like, that kind of stuff. If a video game collector went in there and saw that, they'd shit their pants.
Probably. I've had people come in and they're like, Jesus Christ, it's a fucking museum in here.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, considering all the stuff together, you probably got, like, at least $5,000 to $10,000 worth of the, like, collectibles in there.
Let's not talk about this. Let's focus on news of the week. I don't want to dwell on how much money I've wasted. Especially because you can pretty much only see directly behind me, and it's still pretty close. It is ridiculous. But we mentioned backward compatible and stuff on sale. Huge, huge, huge backward compatibility sale going on Xbox 360 and One this week with, what, like 270 games on sale? Something ridiculous?
Yeah, it was 270, like, three, I believe.
Something insane.
And on top of that, it's not even tied to gold membership.
Yeah, it's
you
just...
You can get this stuff on silver.
And, like, their stuff is cheap as, like, $1.25.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. There's so many things that are less than $5. Like, there are more things that are less than $5 than things that are more.
I wonder if I could find all my... all my sticky notes that I kept track of all the games that were on sale that I ended up getting.
I can see why you didn't buy the Cabela games, though. The three on sale are still 50% off. They're still $15.
I want to say I got like 30 games on sale this week.
Damn, that's a lot, man.
And it, stupidly enough, a chunk of them are games that I traded in to get digital.
Hmm.
Like, let's see, what stuff did I switch from physical to digital? I know Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard.
Yeah.
Meet the Robinsons.
That's funny.
Dead Space 2 and 3. I think Assassin's Creed Rogue I traded in. That one ended up costing me like an extra dollar, but whatever.
Yeah.
What games do I recommend from the sale? Jesus Christ, I
There's
know.
Too many. There is a game that I picked up, though, that was that it looks pretty neat. I've never actually played it before, but I've seen it a lot on Steam on sale. Anomaly Warzone Earth. I looked it on the Xbox stuff, or on True Achievements, where it shows the last sale it was before this one.
Yeah.
And that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about with the sale, is how much stuff is on sale that has never been on sale before.
Yeah, it's like, I just made sure to purchase a lot of the games that I'm interested in that are just like, I know won't go on sale again for a long time, or possibly ever.
Yeah, I think I got pretty much everything that I didn't already own that I cared about.
Yeah, I still got a lot more, and I also made sure to jump on Alan Wake before it got delisted, but that wasn't on sale, sadly. Mm-hmm. So, but I had to get that in the DLCs, but at least the DLCs were free, and I didn't jump on it through Microsoft, because that would have been like 20 some bucks, or it would have been $20 to pick it up. I got it on like I think like CD keys for like $5.
Let's see. Susan in chat said he bought Doom, the Assassin's Creed games, Rage. Rage is another one I switched from physical to digital. For $4, fuck yeah, I'm going to do that. Orange Box, hell yes. Alien Hominid, hell yes. Bully, Saints Row Bundle, Devil May Cry 4. Those are some good games. If Latino Heat, if you're looking for some recommendations, Orange Box, Alien Hominid, Bully, those are some awesome selections also, right there.
Also, 3D Ultra Mini Golf. I fucking love that game. I'm so happy it's on sale, because I was going to spend the $5 anyway. Just because I've been wanting to play it, because nice. I watched a lot of videos of that in the past.
I'm gonna take a quick glance at the sale and see if any games stick out. Alice Madness Returns was really good, especially because you get both of the Alice games pretty much. Make sure to download the, well, it used to be a season pass, but it's free. Alien Hominid, like mentioned. See, Battle Block Theater.
Yeah, that's fantastic. An incredible game. I don't know how you've missed that game. I think everybody owns that game by now, but still.
Blue Dragon, as well as Lost Odyssey, were both on sale. Those, if you're an RPG fan, they're both must-owns. Sousa mentioning Shadow of the Damned, hell yes.
I have to pick that up. I'm like, I'm so debating it, but I'm down to $18 in my bank account. I gotta make that last until Wednesday. So it's like, do I want to grab it?
Yeah, it's $5.
I just grabbed
just
Portal 2.
Burnout Paradise is still one of my all-time favorite racing games. I think that one's absolutely worth picking up. Bound by Flame is pretty decent. Capcom Arcade Cabinet, if you're a fan of classic arcade-style games. Symphony of the Night is... That's like required gaming for anybody in the world at this point, Symphony of the Night. Double Dragon Neon is amazing.
Golf Tee It Up! I've drummed up both of those mini golf games. I fucking love mini golf.
Far Cry 3 and Blood Dragon are both absolutely worth owning, but those aren't really hidden gems, I guess.
No. Hydro Thunder Hurricane.
Yeah, that's a good one from our friends at Vector Unit. Final Fight Double Impact, I think, is worth picking up. Foul Play is really good. Oh, God, scrolling down here.
There's one that you, or there's two games you have to buy because they likely won't be discounted again for a long time. That's the Sam and Max games.
I just picked those up when they dropped to $10.
I know. I was thinking about doing it too, and then it's like, and now they're down to $250.
I know.
I was just like, I'm glad I waited, because now I grabbed Sam and Max Save the World, since I already did Beyond Time and Space when it was in the Game Pass.
Yeah, I was bummed when I saw it. I'm like, fucking really? Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that was kind of a shitty move to drop the price on him right before dropping it again. A lot of people don't even know that that was the case, and they're like, holy shit, it's from $20 to $250 each. I have to buy it.
Well, I think the main reason they dropped them down to $10 is they didn't want some kind of crazy outlier where it's like 75% off games, and then Sam and Max is like 90% off.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, there's a couple that are more than 75, I believe. I thought there was one that was like 80. No, there's one that's 90. MX versus ATV is 90% off.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it
is. So, I mean, it wouldn't have been a complete outlier, but still.
Another good one, Midway Arcade Origins. I love that. It is such an awesome collection, like 30 old school Midway games. Pretty cheap.
I'm looking through trying to find some that I can be like, yo, this game is so great, and I'm struggling to find the ones that I'd really recommend for some reason.
The Puzzle Quest games, if you don't already own those, they're really fun. If Chris was here, he would say Skate 3, Skullgirls if you're into fighters.
Trials HD all the way.
Yeah, there's so, like, literally 90% of the backward compatible games are on sale.
And it's a great idea if you recently got Borderlands 2 during the Games with Gold. The season pass is currently on a 70% discount. So that's a really good idea to pick that up. BioShock Infinite season pass is also on sale, which is surprising. It's been a long time. And Gears of War 3's.
Oh, Super Meat Boy's on sale. You could get the real version of the game with the Danny B soundtrack instead of the shitty re-release that doesn't have Danny B's music. I mean, like, the new music is okay and all, but it's not Meat Boy.
There's so much shit that if I had like $25 more, I'd be so happy to just jump on. Like, I'd like to grab the Gears of War 3 DLC while it's that cheap anyway, just because I believe that game did have story DLC, like that Path of Ram or something like that.
Oh yeah, that was it, General Ram?
Yeah, General Rom. I'm pretty sure there's something in this that was actually story related, which means it's a little more interesting.
The bottom line is there's a shitload of stuff on sale, and if you have money, just do it. Do it. Buy everything.
Yeah.
I
really want to.
I was kind of bummed because I was looking through the stuff on the 360 console, and under like the RPG section, it showed the game of Orcs and Men.
Yeah, I was annoyed the last time it was on sale because I really, really want to pick that one up.
Well, the thing is, that one you couldn't buy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because last time I saw it on sale, that's a European title.
Well, that's what I was leading to. The last time I saw it on sale, I was like, I tried as hard as I could to just like, I went to the website and went to the European version of the Xbox website, hoping that maybe I could just buy it through that. But it doesn't work like that. You have to actually have your account in that area.
Yeah, it was a bummer. Just the fact that it was on the U.S. store, I was like, oh my god, did they give it just a silent American release? But nope, I guess it's just all the games show up on the sale. It just, when you try to open it, it's like, there's an error, you can't open this.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So, I'm stuck having my hard copy of that still.
Yeah, but that's better than not having it at all.
True.
And it's insane. It's gotten much more expensive to import.
I can understand why. I know a lot of people want it.
Backwards compatibility, that really ups the price.
Speaking of imports, three more games were added to backward compatibility this week. I don't think they're part of the sale at all.
No, they're not.
But they are Japanese-only games. And they are the three Steins Gate titles, visual novels, available. If you import them and you know how to read Japanese, you could play them at least.
Yeah, and they are insanely expensive to import. Like, they're like $30, $40 each.
Yeah. Then again, a lot of import stuff could still be expensive like that. if they ever get to the point where they are making like some Japanese shmups, like the Dodonpachi games or stuff like that, backward compatible, you're goddamn right I'm going to import those.
Seems like it might be easier to just make a new account with a Japanese box and then just buy it.
Yeah.
And file transfer and shit.
Well, between the boxes. It's still a pain in the ass to get Japanese currency.
Can't you buy like currency codes from PlayAsia though?
You can, but you know, trying to get a good amount and not overspend or not have a ton of extra money left on your account is a pain in the ass. And then you still have to have an address on file. So you have to like either know someone who lives there or just like Google the American embassy in Japan.
That must be so annoying because it's like, if you have money in your account on there, I don't see why you have to put all this extra shit in. It's like, you're just
probably
using money
tax purposes or something.
I mean, I guess, but it just seems annoying.
I know a lot of people, when they want to get stuff on an American marketplace, that they have to put an address. And like, why do I need shit like that? Tax in America. So, I don't know what the reason is for overseas, but I'm kind of tempted to try looking for the 3 Steins Gate games fairly cheap.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I know.
There's almost no point in owning them, aside from the being able to say that you own them, though. Because you can't play them in English anyway.
True. Maybe I'll learn Japanese one day.
Or you could just play them on like PC or I think the PS Vita got the original Steins Gate and it has subtitles that are English.
Play them at the same time so you can read them both and then make the same choice on each.
That's smart.
What other news? Contrary to our speculation last week when we were talking about IO Interactive getting dropped by Square Enix, the current word is that they will in fact retain the Hitman IP.
That is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised to hear that, but yeah,
the latest word is they are retaining the rights to the Hitman IP and that season 2 of Hitman is happening. So
that's really cool of of Square Enix, was it? Or no. Square Enix. Well, that's pretty cool of them to let them keep the rights to Hitman.
It might be something where IO owned the IP. It's just Square Enix owned IO.
Yeah, maybe. But that's pretty awesome that they're still going to be able to. And I guarantee you, if IO needs it, I'm sure that another company would be happy to pick them up.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's a big studio, and Hitman's a big title.
Whatever happens, I hope that it's not like Microsoft or Sony that picks them up, because Hitman shouldn't be exclusive.
There's no point in Hitman being exclusive. That game is just like, there's too many stealth games as it is. No. May as well let that game be like everywhere.
I know a lot of people on the Xbox Reddit are like, Microsoft, you should buy IO.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea as far as finally getting some exclusives, but
the thing is, the way I see it is, if Microsoft were to buy IO Interactive, I could see them not interfering with Hitman being on PlayStation.
That's true. They could just like do like exclusive like skins and shit and put them in the Xbox version and leave it normal.
Yeah, because look at Mojang with Minecraft. That's Microsoft true. Is like, we're making a lot of money selling Minecraft on other systems. Let's just keep doing it. And they could have easily discontinued support for the other versions.
But you know that they would have just got too much flack for that anyway. That would have been a problem for them.
That would have driven sales towards Xbox. That's like, hey, if you want the latest Minecraft stuff, it's an Xbox property. You got to pick up an Xbox.
Or play it on the Windows 10.
Yeah.
It's like,
which totally would have not only been understandable, but completely within Microsoft's right to do so.
Yeah, I mean, they would have had total rights to do so. Yeah. But I think from the start, like Mojang, I think what happened was like Mojang had that agreement set up from the start that they weren't going to allow, they didn't want to do that, that they wanted to stay multi-platform.
I honestly think that even if there weren't an agreement like that, if there is or isn't, Microsoft would still be like, this is a fucking cash cow. We're going to,
I'd rather Microsoft focus on money. Microsoft doesn't need to worry about losing money anymore because they have enough.
because look at it this way. If that agreement were in place, there would be zero requirement by Microsoft to do a Nintendo Switch version of Minecraft, which they did.
Yeah. That's true. Like, it's a brand new version. It wasn't even... I highly doubt that it was in development at the time of the purchase.
Yeah.
So, it's like, yeah.
I think even the Wii U version happened after the sale. And that was, you know... They could have just done a standard, okay, well, here's, like, the shittiest version of Minecraft. Enjoy
it.
But instead, they did a full-on Nintendo version of the game.
That's true, too. They did the whole Mario mashup pack,
yeah,
which was fucking awesome. I wish that I could play that anywhere else.
Or shit, even if you look at Minecraft in Japan, there is a PlayStation Vita Minecraft-themed system.
Yeah, wow.
Like, full-on Minecraft-designed Vita system handheld system. Like, that shit doesn't need to happen. And I think that if there were some way that Microsoft would be like, yeah, we're going to buy IO Interactive. Well, what about Hitman Season 2 on PlayStation? And be like, okay, they could still have it, whatever. Phil Spencer has been saying for so long that he's not super into the whole exclusivity shit, so... I don't know.
I mean, yeah. But it's still better for the actual console if there is exclusives.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, like if first-party stuff, when they can, is going to be exclusive. Yeah. But if it's a massive cash cow or an established property, I'm sure Microsoft is going to be like, hey, how much money could we make putting this on other systems? Or keeping it on other systems, not necessarily putting it on other... Like, look back to when Rare Replay came out, where, you know, people were saying, oh, I'd love to see Rare Replay on the Wii U, and even people from Microsoft are like, fucking ask Rare. We don't care.
Well, that seems like the perfect place. Rare games are, like, they're great, and it's awesome that Microsoft owns them, because it's great for Xbox gamers, but their games totally belong on a Nintendo system.
How cool would it have been if Nintendo and Microsoft partnered up and, like, the Xbox version of the game still got, like, the Donkey Kong Country games, and then the Wii U or, who knows, Switch, hypothetical, since they don't exist, would get, like, Viva Pinata and shit like that.
Yeah, that would be pretty damn awesome. Because Viva Pinata is a perfect game for, like, the Switch.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies would have been perfect on the GameCube. It never felt at home on Xbox.
Rare games in general don't really feel like Xbox games. They don't really make games that aren't kid-friendly, you know, excluding, like, Conker's Bad Fur Day and stuff. Most of their games feel like they're just made for a younger audience.
Yeah.
And would be perfect for a system that's also made for, generally, a younger audience.
True. Speaking of Nintendo, there are rumors going around that after the successes of Super Mario Run and Fire Emblem Heroes, Nintendo is looking into developing a Legend of Zelda game for mobile.
Yeah, that's great. Because mobile games are so great.
Mario Run is really good, so if they could find some way to make
it somewhat... They can just do Zelda Run.
Oh my god. Link Run.
No, you're going to play as Princess Zelda for the first time ever, and then it'll be correctly named.
I don't know. Mario Run was really solid. Fire Emblem Heroes is really solid. I think if Nintendo does it right, a Zelda game could work on mobile. I guess we'll see.
They're going to have to change it up, though. They can't do like a full 3D world.
Yeah.
I mean, most phones won't be able to run that. I'm assuming the newest iPhones probably would handle it fine.
I don't think we'll ever see something like Breath of the Wild on there, but I think we could see something like the Game Boy Zeldas.
Well, that's what I was thinking. The best choice would probably be to just port some of the older ones up.
I don't think Nintendo would do... I think if they're going to do something, they're going to do something from the ground up.
Make something similar. They could do like an old style Zelda, where it's like, it's the style of the old games, but it's a new game.
True.
That'd be pretty cool to go back to, like, Zelda 3.
I guess we'll see. Link to the Past.
Yeah. I don't know the names.
What other news do we have here? Final episode of Walking Dead Season 3 is going to release on the 30th, so that is just around the corner. I know we'll have a...
That game turned around so quick from, like, some of the other Telltale games in the past.
I'm sure it didn't hurt that episodes 1 and 2 released together.
Yeah. But it's just it's surprising how quickly they pumped these out compared to like Tales from the Borderlands, where it took almost a year for all five episodes.
Well, maybe they're in a rhythm now where they're like, you know, if we wait too long, people are going to stop caring.
And well, we have
90 different properties that we're working on adventure games for. We got to crank these fuckers out.
I'm assuming they just hired more staff and are able to do it now. They probably didn't have as many people.
Yeah.
But with getting the licenses for Guardians of the Galaxy and shit, I'm sure they have some money now.
True.
To hire more people.
Speaking of Marvel, Marvel Heroes Omega, the MMO game coming to consoles, will no longer have a closed beta on the Xbox One as it had on PlayStation 4. Instead, it's just gonna launch on June 20th.
Interesting.
So, it will not have the full 60-plus character roster from the PC, instead launching with just 38 characters to, quote, ensure the best possible experience on console at launch, with updates to follow regularly after launch, which I can understand. You don't want to overload things right off the bat.
Yeah, the thing is, it's probably just not... A lot of the characters probably aren't ready for the transition yet.
Who knows?
So they just want to get the game out. They don't want to delay it or something.
June 20th, so a little over a month away, and Marvel Heroes Omega will be out on console. We mentioned Square Enix a bit before. News came out that Don't Nod is officially working on a follow-up to Life is Strange, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I still need to play through Life is Strange at some point.
And then final bit of news I have is a big lump of Ubisoft news as they officially announced Far Cry 5. They officially announced The Crew 2. They gave a lot more hints about a new Assassin's Creed being on the way. And they reconfirmed that South Park The Stick of Truth is coming this year, and it is slated for October 17th.
Stick of Truth, you mean Fractured But Whole?
Yeah, Fractured But Whole. Why do I have Stick of Truth written down?
Yeah, I was going to say The Stick of Truth came out a couple years ago, or a few years ago.
Fractured Butthole. I'm stupid. I just stuck in my head that it comes with The Stick of Truth Remastered.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fractured Butthole is coming out October 17th. Let's hope this release date sticks.
Yeah, I got a feeling it will. I don't think it's going to change from that. Because this is the first time they've given like a direct date.
Please, God, release. Please, please come out.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ubisoft has been busy.
Yeah, and hopefully it works out for them. I'm assuming that Assassin's Creed will be an obvious seller. But if the rumors are true about Far Cry 5 being like a Western game and it's releasing right next to Red Dead, I don't see it going well for them.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious to see more about The Crew 2. I know the original, The Crew, launched to somewhat tepid reception, but you know they kept tweaking it and patching it and putting out content updates and expansions, and by all accounts, it's turned into a pretty solid racer. So I should give that one another shot sometime.
Yeah, hopefully.
Sousa asking if the Stick of Truth that comes with South Park is an Xbox One version.
Yes
it was remade from the ground up for Xbox One and PS4, and you get it, I think, right away if you pre-order it. I know I got mine right away when I pre-ordered it.
Depends on the region, from what I've heard. I've heard people complaining that in Europe they didn't get it right away. They got to wait until the game releases.
I don't know. I have it on my system now. So
people in the U.S. are saying that it works perfectly fine for them.
I know some people, like after Microsoft changed their whole how they handle pre-orders things, some people haven't gotten it. It might come down to how you pay for it.
That's possible.
If you pay for it with account credit that it takes it right away, you might get the Stick of Truth remaster right away. But if you do it with like a debit card where it doesn't charge until the game releases, then you're going to have to wait.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. But yeah, that's all the news I got for the week.
I had more, but I'm not sure if it's how legit it is. So there's just news that there's a rumor going around that Scalebound may be coming back.
There were reports that Microsoft, they didn't renew the trademark, they just extended it.
Yeah, according to the source I'm looking at, it's been reported that they were renewed
From what I saw online, they renewed the trademark for it, but there's nothing to read into. Like, there's no word of them getting someone. There's been rumors that someone new might be on the project, but...
Well, the rumor that I was, like, the rumors are flying around Twitter, and the article I was looking at, it stated that they quoted another person that tweeted, but didn't say who the tweeter was, that development is resumed and led by an entrusted, an important, close Microsoft team, rather than Platinum Games. So they might be bringing it in to finish it up themselves, but then again, it's nothing to get too excited about because it's all rumors, and who knows if any of it means anything. It could just be that they renewed it so somebody else can't work on a game like that.
Possible, or they just want to keep the IP name so that, like, you know, Sony can't turn around and be like, oh, we have a game called Scalebound releasing next year.
Yeah, it's all possible that it's just keeping a trademark in their pocket.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll hear something new at E3, but as it stands, I wouldn't get any hopes up about Scalebound returning at any time.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, are you ready to give away some Demon's Crystals?
Only if you are.
So, Demon's Crystals from Byte for Games and Badland Indie. They were nice enough to hook us up with an extra 4 copies of the game, and we have a lot of people who are interested in this.
Yeah.
11 entries. 11. So.
Yeah, that's a lot of entries that you're going to have to read off right here.
Yeah, this is going to be... this should be an interesting race to see who wins. But let us kick things off with Daniel N., who says, I would like to win Demon's Crystals for Xbox One because I love frantic twin-stick shooters that give you epileptic seizures and make your fingers bloody and calloused. Wants seizures and bloody calluses.
Sounds like an interesting choice of wants, but, you know, I won't judge him.
Won't judge.
Yeah.
Next up, Robert M. says, hello, thanks for the chance to win the great game Demon's Crystals. I love those little games like this one, Endless Runner or Speed Runner with challenges. Great. It's not an Endless Runner. You might have the wrong game in mind. I don't know.
That's funny.
Likes I'll just Endless write down, Runners.
That's what I was putting down. It's just like, well, you know, it has nothing to do with this game, but sure, why not?
Yeah, it's still a fun, cute, quirky little game, so...
Maybe that's what he was just referring to. He just likes small indie games and just happened to list a bunch of games that were Endless Runners.
Suz is heading out. He doesn't want to stick around to hear who wins the game. He's like, I'm not going to win, so I don't want to hear this. Next email is from John Harvey, who says, I'd love to win Demon's Crystals on Xbox One from Badland Games and Byte for Games. You probably want to know why. Well, it's because I've lately played a few twin-stick shooters, and this looks like it would be an amazing addition to my gaming collection. Has local multiplayer with, like, 1-4 players? Oh, and 8 game modes. Plus, it has cool anime demon girls as the playable characters, which is always a plus. Pretty sure you can level them all up as well. Looks rather cool, and I'd love to give it a chance. Thanks for the opportunity to win, and good luck to everyone who enters. Keep up the great work.
So he likes anime girls.
Likes waifus. And good sport. Giorno Jiva says everything's an endless runner if you really think about it. Yeah, I guess.
Even life.
In Demon's Crystals, you are kind of running constantly to not get hit. Plus, you got to pick up crystals, which is kind of like... You know what? Yeah, I guess it's an endless runner with twin-stick shooting. next email from Latin Ruler says, good evening, SML Podcast. I'm a huge fan of twin-stick shooters as I recently played Neurovoider. This game's mechanic has a similar style to it. Playing this game, I would immerse myself into the demon world and portraying myself as an angel, slaying hordes of unwanted enemies and bring peace to the land with the different weapons this game has to offer. I would truly enjoy playing the mystical world of Demon Crystal. Thanks so much for the opportunity, SML Podcast.
He sounds like he's an RPG player.
Sent from my iPhone. So, wants to murder demons. Next email is from Gar13, who says, I'd love to win Demon's Crystals on Xbox One because it looks like a lot of fun to play. Also, I'm a big fan of Badland Games. Thanks for the chance. Fan of Badland Games. Which is always a good thing, because we are also fans of Badland Games.
Indeed. I remember some Badland games. Like Badland. Except I don't think that one's Badlands.
It's not. Next email is from Lucky Cal, who he is lucky because he won one of our Dragons, Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap copies last week. So he writes in saying, I would like to win Demon's Crystals because if it is half as good as the Sexy Brutale, it should be awesome and cool to see what they can offer in a different gaming genre. Fan of Sexy Brutale.
That game looks awesome. I really have to pick it up. I've been enjoying watching it.
True. Next email is from Aroto Tomato, who has been on a hell of a win streak with our show lately.
He has such good entries.
That's what we like. We like funny, unique entries. Just saying the game looks cool. You know, if we did a random draw, that'd be a sufficient entry. But we like unique stuff. Making us happy. So Aroto says, look, I'm a church boy, so when I see the word demons, I feel like grabbing a cross and praying to the Lord to compels you, or whatever they say in that movie about the owl girl who pukes at people. But then this game looks more like the shoot him in the face kind of exorcism, and that's also fine by me, brother. Count me inside this bathtub contest, and I'll jump in naked. Jump naked into an exorcism?
So, you know, the thing you were talking about with creative entries.
That's another solid one. Goddamn.
I think I got a feeling.
Ralph Wunsch, who says, hi there. I want to win Demon's Crystals on Xbox One because I want to restore peace to the world with my badass Eurekan demons. Wants to restore peace with badass demons.
So you just wrote his whole email.
Pretty much. Next email from Johnny X, who says, hello there, I'm sending this email for the chance to win Demon's Crystals for Xbox One, and the reason why I want it is because I'm a huge fan of twin stick shooters, and Demon's Crystal seems to be a great game. Best regards, Johnny X. Fan of
like the name.
Twin stick shooters. Cool name.
Johnny X.
Johnny motherfucking X. Next email is from Felipe Freitas. Hopefully I said it right. Who says, I want a game code of this game because the game looks interesting and very good. I own an Xbox One and I love great indie games like this. Thanks for the chance. Fan of indies that look cool. Final email, final entry is from Francesco Doral, who says, Fast Reflexes game by my favorite publisher, Sweet Fam.
Sweet Fam.
Short and sweet.
Just like his email. Just like us, I guess. Sweet Fam.
So, let us run down these one more time. Daniel N. wants seizures and bloody calluses. Robert M. likes endless runners. John Harvey likes waifus and is a good sport. Latin Ruler wants to murder demons. Gar13 is a fan of Badland games. Lucky Cal was a fan of the Sexy Brutale and wants to see what another genre from Badlands could be. Aroto wants to jump naked into an exorcism. Ralph wants to restore peace with badass demons. Johnny X is a fan of twin stick shooters and has a cool name. Felipe is a fan of indies that look cool. And Francesco Doral just says, sweet, fam.
There's five people I want to win.
Who do you have in mind?
All right, Daniel N. I like the seizures. John Harvey, because he likes anime girls, and that's okay, I guess.
Okay.
I just find it funny. Aroto, obviously.
Okay.
I don't have to explain it. Johnny X, because that stands for Johnny Extreme, I guarantee you it. And then Francesco, because he said sweet fam, and I know that annoys you. So I like it.
Well, I agree with Aroto, because that was just another amazing entry. I like Daniel N's as well with the bloody calluses. Francesco Doral, just short and sweet. I think the main decision is going to come down to Johnny X, who has the cool name, or John Harvey, who likes waifus and is a good sport.
Holy shit, they're both Johns. It's a battle of the Johns.
So, John or Johnny, do you want to pick, or are we going to do the Gears coaster flip?
Let's do the Gears coaster flip. They're both huge fans of twin stick shooter games. It's too hard to choose.
All right, let me switch over so I can see the video. Here's the Gears of War coaster flip. This is heads. This is tails. John Harvey is going to be heads. Johnny X is going to be tails. And we are going to flip this motherfucker right now. So let me grab the camera so we can do this. It is heads.
Oh, so John Harvey.
John Harvey is our winner.
Yay, congratulations to you. You can look at anime girls now.
And you were a good sport, so I guess that earned you some extra brownie points.
Sorry, Johnny Extreme. You were too extreme for this one.
It was a good entry, though. We liked you. You have a cool name. So congrats to Daniel N., John Harvey, Oroto Tomato, and Francesco Doral, who are all going to take home a copy of Demon's Crystals on the Xbox One. Thank you to everybody else for entering. Sorry you didn't win. But hey, we have more contests all the time. Check out our Twitter at the SML Podcast. Keep up to date with all of our contests, as well as tons of spammy tweets from me about game releases and news and our show. We have two giveaways going on Gleam right now, including RBI Baseball 17, as well as an indie game 2-pack of what are the games? Dead Effect 2 and Save the Ninja Clan.
Enter and that one.
Both of those end this Sunday. So by the time this episode releases, you've got about 2 days to get on those. And if you missed out,
better get on.
We'll have more all the time. And probably next week on the show, we're going to be doing a giveaway for Narcosis, which is another awesome game.
Nice.
Which we just did a review on the last episode and an interview two shows before that.
I remember that because I showed up at the end of it.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, and I wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah, enter our contests. Win some shit, because we like giving people shit.
I enjoy it, especially if you're if you got a creative, funny answer like Oroto. Basically, just be an Oroto, and you can win.
And we need someone to dethrone Julian Spike from winning all of our shit in Gleam. I don't know. He's up to like 3 wins with us.
Jeez, he must be hacking.
I don't know what's going on. Lucky Cal and him won Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap. And then Brian S. was the winner of our 2-pack of Trulon the Shadow Engines and Lost Grimoire Stolen King. So congrats to all of those folks. Enter so that Julian stops winning, please.
Yeah.
I joke that maybe he owns stock in Gleam. I don't know what's going on. Dude is... he needs to be the lucky one, not Cal.
Yeah, exactly. Lucky Julian and just Cal. Normal Cal.
Pretty much. Anyway, we have a handful of reviews to tackle, so let us dive into
those.
Not
too extreme, but let's get at it.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a small lineup of reviews for once, which is amazing.
Yes, finally.
We are going to kick things off with The Surge, developed by Deck 13, published by Focus Home Interactive. It released May 16th on Xbox One and PS4 for $59.99. Available on Steam as well for $49.99, because it's Steam and that's just how shit is. Welcome generally, to Creo, yes. The megacorporation saving the world. A catastrophic event has knocked you out during the first day on the job. You wake up equipped with a heavy-grade exoskeleton in a destroyed section of the complex. Robots gone haywire, insane augmented coworkers, and rogue AI. Everything wants you dead. CJ, what did you think of The Surge?
All right. Now, I'll be very clear. I did write this stuff, and I know that you've also played the game, so if you feel at any point that you want to just jump in, just interrupt me, and I'll put my mouse cursor where I was.
I have put so much fucking time into this game.
Yeah.
And, like, I started off playing on PS4, and I put a couple of hours into that, and then I also have another over 5 hours on the Xbox One.
that explains why you were doing pretty well considering the time spent on Xbox One.
Yeah.
You had a little bit of experience already.
Yeah, I did my suffering on the PS4.
I was wondering how you were able to get through so easily. I was like, God damn it. I mean, I know that you've played Dark Souls before, but still, God damn it. Anyway.
But before you get into yours, I just want to say that it was fucking hilarious to watch Carnage play that game.
Really?
Because he was trying to treat it like just straight up hack and slash game.
Oh, fuck.
Everything was killing him. Everything.
Even the little drone things?
Possibly. He might have died from one of those.
Oh my god.
I didn't start watching until he was already, like, he went to the med bay for the first time, so he may have died on the way there. Hilariously enough, you know how that first med bay, you exit to the front?
Yeah.
He kept exiting to the left.
Oh my god.
Repeatedly.
Dude.
And he'd be like, I'm lost. Where am I going? He'd stop fucking exiting to the left. And he would make fun of me, like, oh, I gotta go straight so Joe doesn't yell at me for exiting to the left. And then he would exit to the fucking left again.
That's fucking
it
funny.
It was hilarious. Anyway, the Surge. What'd you think?
The Surge is a very difficult action RPG, similar to the Dark Souls franchise, but rather than those games and others alike, like the dev's previous game, Lords of the Fallen, this game does not take place in a medieval setting. Rather, this game takes place in a futuristic sci-fi setting where the world is dying, and the company Creo is trying to stop that and save humanity. You play as Warren, a previously paralyzed man who is getting a job at Creo. In this world, power suits that are connected to you are real and are called rigs. They enhance your strength, speed, and intelligence. Furthermore, they are upgradable with new armor, weapons, and implants. The gameplay is amazing in its precision, difficulty, and overall oomph that you feel when you give or take a hit. Everything in this game feels so meaty, and every attack looks like it's truly painful. The game is extremely difficult, especially if you're somebody like me who isn't accustomed to this genre. Before this game, I had only put like an hour into Bloodborne, which is a similar style game, and I didn't enjoy it at all. I gave up after an hour and assumed those games were not for me. I didn't actually know much about this game going into it, and I didn't realize that it was by the same developers that did Lords of the Fallen, so I didn't expect this to be this kind of game. I didn't learn until after I already took the key, so I was kind of stuck with the game regardless, but that wound up being a blessing in disguise. As I felt the need to give this game a real chance as I review it, sure, in the first hour I was feeling the same way I did with Bloodborne, but after some time I began to fall in love with the game. I finally understand why people enjoy this style of gaming, and now I kind of want to give Dark Souls and Lords of the Fallen a chance after I get through this one. This game has completely turned me onto a new genre.
Nice.
Which is awesome. Because before that, I was totally shit at these kind of games, and I did not want to play any of them.
Shit at these games when you started, and for the first 5 hours that you played.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, the first area... the first boss, it took me about four and a half hours to finally get through everything in the first area, to finally beat that boss and get through it, because it was a really rough time for me at first. I didn't really know how to play these kind of games, and I mean, once I got used to it, it became a little bit easier to deal with the regular guys, but the boss was still kicking my ass. In fact, the way that the boss fight worked for me for so long is that I would only get like maybe 25% through the way, because I didn't really understand what it was. And then when I learned it, immediately went from 25% to killed him.
Nice.
It wasn't like I kept having gradual progress. It was like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I know what I'm doing. He's dead.
And then it clicked.
Yeah, it's just like that. That's a lot of what this game is. These games aren't hard. They're learning. If you learn the game, anybody can get through these kind of games if you just learn how to play these kind of games.
They're very methodical. You can't carnage it where you just rush in and try hacking everything, because the enemies aren't going to take your shit. They're not going to stand there and just wait to be hit. Like,
yeah,
I told him, once you open that first door where that guy was banging his head, you're not going to be able to just stand there and slowly like, they're going to charge at you, and they're going to gang up on you, and then you're going to die. And then that happened, and he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I just told you that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, a lot of that game is like trying to drag somebody out of a room so that you don't have to take two people on at once. Get the attention of one, try to back up and get them out of the room, and then kill them outside, and then go back in and kill the other.
Yeah.
Because if you get teamed up on just by even two of them, you're dead. For the most of the time, it's really difficult. I remember there's an achievement in the second area for killing the vending machine cult, which is pretty interesting. It was just a group of four enemies in front of a vending machine, and I guess that they were a cult, and it was like, I managed to get it, but I had to take on four enemies at once.
Good lord.
That was so difficult. I died like three or four times before I eventually actually got to the point that I could make it. And,
similar to the Dark Souls games, when you die in this game, any of the, instead of souls, you're carrying scrap is your currency in this. You drop your scrap and you have a set amount of time to get back to where you died to pick up that scrap or it's gone.
The time, I will say, is pretty forgiving, though. It's a decent amount of time.
It's two and a half minutes, and if you kill enemies, it increases the timer.
And the timer does not go down while you're in the med bay or while you're in an elevator. So that was pretty nice. Yeah, the game is pretty nice about that. So that's really nice, considering it's not nice about many other things. The game introduces a new system of combat called limb targeting, allowing you to focus on attacking a specific part of an enemy. This is useful for killing enemies quickly, as you can target a non-armored part of their body and deal much more damage. Alternatively, as a reward for focusing your attacks on an armored part, you gain materials that you can use for crafting or scrap, which can be used for upgrading your rig's power level. The only issue I had with the targeting is that on larger enemies, especially boss number two, I don't know if you got to him.
No.
It is extremely difficult to target the body part you want, and it'll sometimes refuse to go to the body part you want. The problem with boss number two is that he has like six legs.
Oh,
and
fun.
It's really, and he has one attack that spins them all in a circle, and it's impossible to aim at the one you want. And it's like, so it becomes frustrating flipping the right stick trying to target the one you want. And I don't know if you've had this problem when you're just playing the game just on a regular enemy. It's like, sometimes you'll hit the right stick trying to change the way the camera is, and then you'll just target the wrong body part and stuff. Yeah.
Because I do kind of wish... once you're targeting on an enemy, the camera pretty much locks into place, and you can't move it.
Yeah.
Unless you untarget the enemy and manually move it. Another annoyance I had in regards to the camera and locking onto enemies is it appeared I'm an invert player. And it also inverts how you select body parts. So I had to hit up to get to the legs.
Okay, that would be really difficult to deal with. I'm as a younger gamer, I didn't deal with the inverted camera stuff. So for me, it's like it's normal way to play the game. It's just like shit, it seemed normal. The crafting system in this game is small but useful. You gain materials by breaking the armor of enemies or finding it hidden in the world and use that as well as some scrap to create something new or upgrade an item you already have. What limits you is that each material has a mark level, so you can't use mark 1 materials to make a mark 3 piece of armor. Also, each specific piece of armor requires a different type of material, like chest armor requires one sort of material that can't be used to make leg armor. So I found that crafting system to be pretty interesting. It was definitely a lot more like complex than I figured it would be.
It's a word I keep coming back to with this game is deliberate. You have to be deliberate in what you're doing. Like, if you want to power up your armor, you have to focus on cutting off arms.
Yep, because that's the way you get those, material is by the arms.
It is very deliberate, and I don't want to say it's a slow-paced game, but it's one where you need to take your time with what you're doing and pay attention.
Well, it is pretty much a slow-paced game because each little enemy in the game can kill you.
Yeah.
If you're not being smart about it, you can die from the smallest of enemies. So you have to take your time with each enemy. Or alternatively, if you're getting annoyed and you just want to get back to your stuff because you died 100 times, you can run past every enemy. They are very easy to run past.
Yeah, because a lot of them are fairly slow-moving. A couple will charge at you.
Yeah, those ones you just you got to mix in the sprinting with a quick dash to get away.
Yeah. And you also have another thing Carnage wouldn't do is manage his stamina very well. He would jump dodge like 4 times in a row and then wonder why he can't attack.
Okay, that's a bit much. Okay, I was going to say, even I'm not that great at managing stamina because I'm not used to this, but even I'm not having that much. Like, I'll dash once to get away, and then I'll do another dash sometimes to attack forward if it's one of those enemies that it's just like, they'll have a big power move coming up, I can dash and attack real quick and then move back with another dash and not get hit.
It was so funny watching him.
It's just, yeah, it sounds it. I've only watched an hour of somebody else playing it, and they were also really bad at it, but that was at the time that I was also, like, I didn't know what I was doing, so watching him was like, I was trying to see if I could pick up some stuff, and I wound up not, because he was also really bad, but it was still funny. Your rig's power level is important, because you the better your armor, the more power it will require to work. Plus, implants take power, and the better the implant, the more power an implant... Implants are insanely important. Personally, as someone who is struggling through the game, I have 3 implants for vital injections, meaning I can heal myself for 80 health 9 times before running out.
Nice.
And I also have 3 implants that increase my health. That accounts for 6 of my current 7 unlocked implant slots.
Oh my god.
And of course, my last implant slot is, of course, for seeing the enemy's health bar.
Nice.
Because that's something I don't think I could live without that. I want that. Because then you can tell if you can make that risky move or not. If they're only one hit away, but they're getting ready for attack, you could almost always get them.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be able to tell if you didn't have that.
And the game knows that everybody's going to want to use that, because that one requires 0 power.
Yeah, exactly. Part of me is surprised that that's even a thing that you had to have put on your rig. I'm surprised that it wasn't just an automatic thing. Like, maybe with the head armor, kind of like the front lights are an automatic thing with the chest piece.
Yeah.
It's surprising that the health thing isn't just automatic with head armor. Yeah. That now you can see the head, or the health. But, you know, whatever. I won't complain, still. The game looks absolutely gorgeous. I'm just blown away.
Oh,
and it runs
shit,
at a consistent frame rate.
And even, like, I was lucky enough to play it on both the Xbox One and the PS4 Pro. The PS4 Pro has 2 distinct graphic modes, one that puts emphasis on game resolution. So if you have a 4K TV, clearly you'd want to do that. I don't have a 4K TV, so I went with the performance option that focuses on the frame rate, and holy shit, is that a smooth looking game when you're on a pro and focused on frame rate. Like, that's pretty much consistent 60.
It's great.
Sexy.
And even on Xbox One, I've never had any frame rate issues, and the game hasn't even crashed on me. I know that it crashed on you once, apparently.
I had one crash on the Xbox One, and it was probably the shittiest thing that happened to me. Because I was working on an achievement to get 50,000 scrap on yourself at one time.
I still haven't bothered with that
one. I accidentally stumbled into where the boss was, not realizing that I had activated the point where the boss would spawn. He killed me, and then my game crashed, and I lost 20,000 scrap.
Hey, at least if you would have killed him with 20,000 scrap, you would have got the other achievement for killing a boss with 20,000 scrap on you.
Oh, I didn't know there was an achievement for killing a boss with 20,000 scrap.
Yes, there is. It's called Overconfident. That is an achievement.
Fuck
as well.
That one.
Once you've learned the boss, I feel like as soon as I've beaten the boss, I could easily do it again.
Yeah.
That's the thing with this game. Like, with the game, I'll throw it back to an older one I reviewed a while ago, Fury. It's like, I got past the boss and I was like, okay, thank God I never had to face that boss again, because I don't think I could do it again. It was just so lucky that I got this. This one feels more like, okay, I've learned what to do. I could easily take this boss on again.
Nice.
And so I think that gives this game credit that it's like, it's just a learning game. There is a decent weapon variety, ranging from a large slow attacking hammer to my personal favorite, the twin rig dual blade setup, which is much faster at attacking. And another cool thing is that you get a weapon from each boss you defeat. like I don't want to ruin the weapon I just got because I don't want to spoil that for anybody. But oh my god, it's like an upgraded dual blade thing, and it's amazing. It's just incredible. You'd have to see it because I don't know about you, but I definitely prefer the quicker attacking weapons that do less damage, but you can get them. You can do attacks much faster and then back away.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people can play with the hammer, especially. That thing is so fucking slow. You can't get a hit in before you get hit.
True, but if you connect.
It does do a lot of damage, but it's like, it just doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah, I agree.
I did play it until I got that proficiency to level 5, though, because I'm trying to get the achievement for getting every single weapon proficiency to level 5.
Ah.
But after that, I quit with the hammer immediately and went back to my twin rig, which was, I believe now it's at proficiency 14.
Nice.
Because that's all I want to use. It's the only thing that's actually great.
So we've been gushing about the game quite a bit. Do you have any gripes with the game?
See, that was the thing. I couldn't really think of any when I was writing my review. There's one thing that's kind of a gripe. There's only like one song in each of the there's one song overall for all the medibays. And once you've heard it enough times because you've been killed so many times, it becomes an annoying song. Like, it's originally a good song, but it's like, if I have to hear I was born in a prison one more goddamn time, I'm going to rip my ears off. I'm sick of it.
Well,
like,
stop
there should have been a few other songs. But it isn't a bad song by any means. It's just like, god damn it. There's enemies now. I've gotten to the third area because I just beat the second boss not too long ago. And there's enemies now that I'm facing that are like these weird, like spider dog-like things that they were actually in the second area as well. If you went up to the
one of those that area. Wrecked my shit.
Those things are still wrecking me, and now I'm in the area where I'm supposed to be able to face them. I just don't understand what to do because they attack so quickly that I can't do anything about it. I can't get attacks in before I'm getting hit, and I just don't understand how to kill them. It takes all of my healing things to eventually kill one of them. And then I have to go back and reheal. And there's another thing. Every time you go back to the medibay, all the enemies respawn, which isn't really a complaint because you need that for grinding anyway.
And that's but it's just how the Souls games are.
But it definitely is like, god damn it, I got all my healing stuff back, but now I got to kill that enemy again anyway. So it's like, god, what do I do? There was a point where I'd lost like 4,000 scrap there, and I just kept going back there, grabbing it real quick, and then dying again, and then going back and grabbing it. I eventually got out of there with it. Actually, no, I didn't. I quit the game. That's the last time I was playing it.
Waiting for you.
No, I got the stuff, and then I quit the game, because my test, I was going to test and see if I quit the game and came back, because I already grabbed it, will I be in the medibay when I spawn in? And then I'll have it still. Or will I spawn where I was?
You will probably spawn wherever the game last saved.
Well, from what I noticed, I believe every time I load up into the game, I'm in the medibay. But I might quit in the medibay every time, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I've loaded it up where I'm in different areas. One of the positives is I've already died, but I would dashboard, like, quit the game quick and go back in, and it would be from where it saved last before I died.
Yeah, I heard some. I saw that one guy posted that on a site, and he said, "This is unforgivable that this is a thing." And it's like, there's nothing they can do about that. Like, what do you want them to take out autosaves?
Yeah.
Then if the game crashes, you have to go the whole way back there. No. It's just like, there's not a lot you can do about to prevent people from abusing that. But who cares? It's a single player game. It's not like they're abusing anything and ruining it for you.
No.
So. Whatever.
But overall, I know we've been talking about this one for a while. Overall, for $60, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, actually, where I was in my write-up was right at the overall, and then I wanted to ask if I had bad thoughts, because I didn't really. overall, I'm really enjoying this game, which was unexpected, and I'm very glad that I gave it the chance it deserves. If you're a fan of hardcore games like Dark Souls, it is an easy buy it. But if you haven't tried a game like this, or if you've tried them in the past but you weren't really into it, I'd still give it a recommend to try it. Give this game a shot anyway.
I agree in giving the game a buy it with the caveat that casuals need not apply.
Yeah. Like, it is definitely like Carnage. Not a game for Carnages. If you're a Shiz, Shiz isn't even interested because he doesn't like these kind of games in the first place. It's like, if you're a Shiz or a Carnage, don't bother. But, well, Carnage is one of those people that I think would fall into the recommend to try it because they still wanted to try it anyway.
Yeah.
See if they could get into it. But for people like Shiz that are just shit at games in general, it's don't bother.
I just like busting Carnage's balls in the hopes that he hears this and he's like, fuck you, I wasn't that bad.
Sometimes he will.
Oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about, because we do have to move on, is called yes. Demo, The Last Recital, developed by Rayark, published by PM Studios. It released May 16th on the PlayStation Vita for $14.99. DLC is available with song packs available for $3.99 each, and they each have five songs. There are also bundles. Bundle 1 includes 12 of the song packs for $34.99. And Bundle 2 includes 18 song packs for $49.99. So there is a shitload of DLC available for this game right off the bat. Demo is a mystic being that lives in solitude in a castle all by itself. His life changes when a girl who lost her memories unknowingly falls from the sky, not knowing who she is and where she's from. Demo comes to the realization that whenever he plays the piano, a tree in front of him grows taller and taller. Can Demo grow the tree tall enough to help the little girl reach the sky from where she came from and get her back home? This game is beautiful. The animation, the cutscenes in here are all like hand-drawn animated style. Beautiful, beautiful artwork, beautiful style to the game. The character design is fantastic. Gameplay is rhythm game. It is all done completely on the touchscreen of the Vita, and you will see white bars come towards you with a line near the bottom of the screen. And when those white bars hit that area, you need to tap the corresponding area. It's not like Rock Band where they have distinct lanes, so those bars can kind of come down wherever. They're not locked to certain areas, and you need to tap along to the music, and you're basically playing the piano for most of the songs. Very easy to get into and learn how to play. Each of the songs in the game has three different difficulty levels: easy, medium, hard. The crazy thing is each of those difficulties has a numerical value to it. So a medium song from one song could be like a level 3, but on a different song, medium could still be like a level 6, and it will kick your ass. So the difficulty is very disjointed from song to song, and even difficulty to difficulty. I've had songs already where it was easier on hard than a different song on medium.
That's interesting.
The song selection in the game is incredible. There's like around 100 songs in the game to begin with.
Wow.
So there is a ton of content in the game. Progression in the game is where things get rocky. The game is very unclear on what you're doing and how you're progressing. When you beat a song, the tree grows a certain amount. And like I've already, all the songs that are available to me right now, I've already completed on medium. And like there's just that progression barrier where to get further in the game, I need to go back and replay those songs either on different difficulties to get extra distance for the trees. Because if you replay, like if you beat a song on medium and replay it on medium, the extra distance that a tree grows is minuscule and fairly worthless unless you get like a full combo on the song and don't miss any notes. And then you'll get a decent growth spurt. There's just a lot of emphasis on replaying songs and replaying them on the harder or difficult or different difficulties, whether you're ready for them or not. So, you know, if I complete everything on easy and medium, I got to move on to the hard. And if I'm not comfortable doing them, tough shit, I got to learn or just replay them.
Rough.
Yeah. I don't understand the progression in the game, but at least the game is a lot of fun. There's a lot to do, you know, a lot of songs in the game. The gameplay works really well for the most part. My biggest gripe gameplay-wise comes down to the size of the Vita screen. A lot of the songs, you'll want to, you know, naturally just play like one-handed with like two or three fingers tapping along. But there's times where you kind of need to have a second independent hand. And, you know, the most that I've been playing would be I would hold the Vita in one hand and tap along with the other. But if I need to have that second hand, I need to find somewhere to like prop up the Vita or set it. And then even then, it's like the screen is just a little bit too big to play one-handed comfortably for some of the songs. And then it's too small to play two-handed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is something that I would honestly love to see make the jump to the Switch. Because of that larger screen would give you a little bit more real estate to comfortably use two hands. Plus, the Switch has a fucking kickstand built in.
that's true. That makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah. Overall, the game is fantastic. It is, if you're a fan of rhythm games, I think for $15, it's definitely something worth picking up. If you're not into rhythm games, this isn't going to change your mind. There is a lot of content in the game, but it does feel kind of crappy that there's like $85 of DLC at launch.
Oof, that's a lot of DLC.
And that's if you buy the discounted bundle packs. If you're buying them separately, yeah, that's over $100.
Yeah, that's a lot of money right away.
Yeah, it doesn't feel necessary to buy them, but if you're enjoying the game and you want more content, at least it's there. My biggest gripes with the game is just comfortably playing the game with either one hand or uncomfortably playing with two with the size of the screen, and then game progression where it just, there's an unnecessary focus on grinding, especially because of how beautiful the animated cutscenes are and how good the story is. It just feels unnecessary to lock it behind such a weird progression.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's really weird.
Overall, if you're a Vita owner, I know you're dying for games anyway. If you're a Vita owning rhythm game fan, this is absolutely a must own. So, good stuff. Next game to talk about is called Seasons After Fall. This one developed by Swing Swing Submarine, published by Focus Home Interactive. Wow, I just noticed we got two Focus Home games this episode.
Yeah.
Released May 16th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Seasons After Fall is a 2D platform puzzle game with a captivating universe governed by magic and nature. As a wild fox, you're sent on a perilous journey, aided only by your ability to change the seasons at will. Journey through this mysterious world full of strange flora and fauna to uncover its secrets. The power of nature is in your paws.
I'm pretty excited to see what you think about this, because I played this one a number of months ago and did a review, and I liked it a lot.
I will say that the description of the game is slightly misleading, because it mentions you have the ability to change seasons at your will. When it starts off, you don't have that ability, and you slowly gain the seasons through the game. And, you know, your journey, the goal of the game is to journey to unlock the different seasons. I haven't beaten the game yet, so I don't know the complete end goal. I know that there's going to be a lot of Metroidvania-style backtracking to uncover all the secrets if you want to.
No, there's a lot of backtracking anyway once you get to a certain point. I could tell just based off of that maybe you didn't get to that point yet.
Well, I know that there's... I mean, like, to eventually uncover all of the secrets in the game.
Yeah, I mean...
The game requires backtracking to begin with.
The whole game is a backtrack. You're in each area at least three times. Yeah.
But the way the game works is that you have... you are a fox that can bark at things. depending on the season, you have unique different, like in winter, water geysers might freeze up to use as platforms, but a plant that unravels to create a platform won't be there in the winter. So you'll have to switch to spring where that plant will unfurl and you can use it as a platform, but then that ice platform is gone. And a lot of the puzzle solving in there comes down to figuring out what seasons you need to be in to effectively solve the platforming puzzle and progress through the game.
Yeah.
I think that one of the biggest draws of this game is the visuals. because holy shit, this is a pretty game.
All hand-drawn, too. It's insane.
Like, it's very reminiscent of Ori and the Blind Forest or, Child of Light. And that, No Pulse is, like, Live with David Chen? Shit.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. You know, I scrolled over it multiple times, and it didn't even really click. That, like, that's not happening. Why is that still there?
I wish I knew about that 2 hours ago.
No, I'm David Chen. It's okay.
Sorry, David Chen was on 2 episodes ago.
Wow, so you've recorded another episode since that was also titled with David Chen.
Well, I don't think I was streaming that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how it is. Yeah, the game Seasons After Fall is absolutely beautiful, hand-drawn. It has a watercolor painting effect to a lot of it. It's just absolutely gorgeous. my only gripes with the game is just, as you mentioned, there is so much backtracking, and it seems like later in the game it gets to the point where there's just a bit too much backtracking.
That's what I've heard from a lot of people that that have been complaining about it, and that was my biggest complaint when I reviewed it. It was just like, it becomes a point where you want to see new areas, and it's just constantly the same ones.
Yeah. I mean, if there's going to be a game that you have to go through areas multiple times, at least it's something so friggin' beautiful.
That's true. It's not a bad game design. It's just, it becomes tiresome.
Yeah. And then I think my only other gripe with the game is that I don't know how it was on Steam when you played. The controls felt delayed. Like, I felt I would need to jump, like, half a second before I wanted to.
There was a little bit of delay on that, but I never really had an issue. What Shiz was doing that was really stupid, that was pissing me off, and he wasn't understanding, he was complaining about it, was he would jump the direction he wanted to, but he would start by facing the wrong way. And then he'd complain, like, why don't I have any momentum? And
it's because you cannot jump. You need to build momentum in the game for some of the jumps.
Or just face the right direction, and you won't... Because the game... it knows what direction you're facing, and if you're not facing the right direction, then you have to change in midair, and that doesn't give you as much launch.
Yeah.
It's just, that would frustrate me so much, because he complained about it so many times. I watched him stream it that day, and I was just like, oh my god. Shit. Come on.
Well, I've noticed, even if you are facing in the right direction, if you try jumping from a standstill, you're not going to get a lot of distance. So it is something...
No, there's still momentum in play. Like, you should back up to the edge of a thing and then run it.
Which, as Shiz is proof, can cause some frustration in some of the jumps.
Some of the jumps can be frustrating, but luckily, they're almost never that long of a point where you have to go back a long ways. Normally, it's a small little backtrack, and then you're right back where you needed to be anyway.
Yeah.
Not like you have to do 5 minutes of platforming to get back to where you were just to lose it again.
Yeah. Overall, though, it's a beautiful game. It's a lot of fun. If you are into puzzle platformers, I think it's definitely something that's already on your radar and you should check out. If you're not a fan of the backtracking, though, that might turn you off from this. Overall, I have to give it a very recommended try it. But they're just the amount of backtracking, some of the control issues, just keep it just a little bit from that buy it rating.
And the $20 price tag is a little bit steep for the length of the game as well, in my opinion. I thought it was going to be launching at a 15. I don't remember if it was the price on Steam, and so that's what I was thinking it was going to be on Xbox. But it does feel like I'm delaying in order to see what the price is on Steam. It is $15 on Steam. That's what I thought.
Now you know what it's like. Yeah,
it's like, for the shortness of the game, it can be finished in like 6-7 hours. It feels like $15 would have been a better price than $20.
Yeah.
I guess it's just the console tax, but it does feel like,
you know, it's not free to develop shit. Like, how many devs do we have on that? It's, you know, Unity doesn't just have a click button to port.
Yeah. So. Still, it always feels a little bit annoying when you know you got to pay a little bit more just to have it on the system you'd prefer.
Yeah, it's still a worthwhile experience. If you see a sale of it, it's a no-brainer. As it stands now, if you're looking for something fun to play, it's worth checking out. But don't drop something else to go for this one. I still really enjoyed it, though.
Yeah.
Next game to talk about is called Human Fall Flat, developed by No Breaks Games, published by Curve Digital, released May 9th on PS4, May 12th on Xbox One for $14.99, previously available on Steam as well. Human Fall Flat is a quirky, open-ended, physics-based puzzle and exploration game set in floating dreamscapes. Your goal is to escape these surreal dreams by solving puzzles with nothing but your wits and physics. CJ, what did you think of Human Fall Flat?
Another one I wrote because I'm tired of trying to go off the cuff and then fucking up. So now I write things again.
Anyway, makes sense.
Human Fall Flat is an odd 3D puzzle platformer. The thing that makes this game odd is the fun yet frustrating physics engine. Physics can make this game feel very aggravating at times, but is also what makes the game unique and hilarious to watch. It can be difficult to control your character when he's about as stable as a man made of jello, but still enjoyable. The gameplay is easy to learn yet hard to master. You have to pick up items using your hands, each controlled with the left and right trigger respectively. Then you have to use your camera, the right stick of course, to move your arms up and down while carrying an item. This can be a little bit confusing at first, but you'd be surprised at how quickly your brain gets used to it, and you are able to do everything with mostly muscle memory. For example, in order to climb, you have to hold both arms up, go to the ledge you want, and then grab it by lowering your arms a little bit. And once your arms are over the edge and holding it, you can pull the right stick down and your body will be pulled up with it. It's a very unique and fun way. Fuck. All right. I made too long of a paragraph. I'm separating them so I can read it better. It's a very unique and fun way to climb in the game, but this can also be game-breaking if you master the art of climbing. As you can grab a hold of literally anything, you can basically climb up vertical walls instead of solving the puzzles if you wish. While it does take a while to master it, the basic gist of it is that you have to jump and grab the wall and then let go with one arm and swing your body back and forth until that arm is higher than the other one and then grab, and then do the same thing for the other arm. Climbing can take a bit of time, but is much quicker than actually doing some of the puzzles. My first playthrough took around 5.5 hours because I didn't learn this tactic until the second to last level.
Nice.
Very easily, using this tactic, you could shave that time down to 30 minutes, maybe even less. This game may just be worth it just for the speedrunning capabilities, if that's your thing. I really love the level design in this game. The skybox is just the sky, because every level is floating in the sky. And when you finish it, you just fall into the next level. Each level is unique and has fun little secrets or just missable things that you can interact with. Often these are tied to achievements, and to get every achievement, you'll have to explore everything the game has to offer. Some of the secrets can be incredibly frustrating to get to or to do, like using the zip line in the level castle, which requires some extreme parkour and climbing skills. And the first time I legitimately started to hate the game. Just out of frustration. Other secrets are just really fun, like trying to figure out how to feed an appliance with power from three batteries, or launching stuff from a catapult trying to ring a church bell.
Oh god.
One thing I really liked about the achievement specifically is that the dev team actually utilized the tracking system, so you Yay. Can see how close you are to some of the achievements. I have to give props to them for that. Not enough devs take advantage of that.
It bugs me when people don't.
It's like, especially when it's something that's so perfect for that. Like, in this game, you have to travel, like, 25 kilometers total. It's like, that would be so annoying if you couldn't tell how close you were to that. But it's like, in this game, it'll just tell you, okay, I am... It was my very last achievement. I will say that I got every achievement in this game.
Nice.
It was my last achievement, and I was like 91% done with it. So because I knew that, I was willing to just walk around in circles for like 20 minutes and I got it. Because it's like, I mean, when it's your last achievement, why not do it? Then you have another completed game. And this one was fun to do. I really did like the achievement list. They went really out there and had fun with it. It wasn't like a basic, boring achievement list. There's a nice amount of them. There's 47 achievements.
Oh, wow.
So it's a decent little game that offers a lot to do. And the achievements are unique and each different. And so I really liked it. I also really like the sound design in this game. The walking sounds were shockingly easy to listen to. I wanted to say soothing, but that's not really true. It's just, it's like, I don't mind this walking sound. It doesn't annoy me. The music is well executed for the game and is based on what is going on in the game. I don't remember what that's called, but at some points there will be no music, and at others it'll get louder and more intense.
Dynamic?
Yes. There's the word. I couldn't remember the word, so I was just like, yeah, fuck it. Overall, there was nothing I disliked about this game, despite me saying multiple times out of frustration that I hated it. I actually loved it, and I think it's an excellent indie title that can be recommended to anybody, no matter the age. This game is an absolute buy it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to check that one out myself. It's looked pretty awesome, and Ragdoll is always good.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense why it was Manuel Samuel was bundled with it for the pre-order bonus.
Nice. Yeah, I love Manuel Samuel too.
These kind of games are just out there with the weird physics, and I love games with weird physics. Like the characters in the game kind of remind you of Gang Beasts a little bit, just the way they look.
Man, Curve Digital is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with this game. And I did say many times that I hated it, but that's only because I was getting frustrated. I actually really like it a lot.
Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Skylar and Plux, Adventure on Clover Island. This one is developed by Right Nice Games, published by Grip Digital, released May 19th. So it is out right now when you're hearing this show on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $14.99. Skylar and Plux Adventure on Clover Island is a passionate homage to the three platforms of our youth. Go on an action-packed adventure, collect gadgets helping you explore a beautiful paradise, and save it from evil. We've seen a number of 3D platformers in recent times with Yooka-Laylee and Snake Pass and Potato jumping on my desk to be a pain in the ass. Get moving, you fucking cat.
That's a really long title.
It's a cool game. It really is. Skylar and Plux continues that tradition, and I'll get it out of the way right now. The curse of bad 3D cameras is alive and well in this game. Thankfully, that's really my only gripe with the game. You start off just Skylar on a ship that you need to escape from. You get off the ship, escape onto a beautiful island paradise area, and Potato has to so annoying for no reason. So annoying for no reason right now.
That's just the way cats are. They're all fucking cunts.
Jesus. And then you are introduced to Plux, a bird who is your companion, because you always have to have a goofy companion on these.
Of course. Well, who would Jack be without Daxter?
True, or Ratchet without Clank.
Ratchet, yeah, I was about to say. Okay.
Banjo and Kazoo. Like, everything is just two characters.
You know what games don't have two characters? Games that flop.
Anyway, beautiful game. Gorgeous visuals, bright colors, good soundtrack, enjoyable music. Gameplay, I think the gameplay in here is satisfyingly concise. There's not too much padding in this game. Like, one of the gripes with Yooka-Laylee was that there was just too much fluff in the game.
Like, by fluff you mean like just random shit that didn't need to be in it?
Yeah, and like way too many collectibles and side quests. Like, this game has little captured, God, I forget what their name were. They're residents of the island that have been captured by the big baddie, And the crystals that you acquire through the game, you can use to open up their cages and free them. They have a counter on the screen showing how many are in each area, so it's easy to keep track of how many are left to get. There's not an obscene number that you have to get. Like, yeah. It's enough. It's enough and not too much. You earn a number of different abilities through the game, whether it's like a rocket boost that you can like do a roll and then launch, or you can have a double jump that, or a more powerful jump that, like a rocket jump. The rocket can also help you glide. There's also things like and now she turns on a toy to just make noise during the show. Oh my god, cat, why? You're gonna drive me nuts tonight. There's abilities that you could earn that like slow down time around you, but you still move at normal speed. So like if there's platforms that are spinning way too fast, you slow everything down so you could jump on them and move through. Big areas to explore, and it's just nice and straightforward. It's a fairly linear experience with enough experimentation and exploration to keep you wanting to continue and see the new areas, but not get frustrated that there's just too much.
Yeah.
It is... I know even before the game released, there's already people who've completed all the achievements in the game.
Yeah, I see that.
So it's not going to be a difficult completion. And it's only $15 when so many of these games are coming out at like 20 and higher.
Is this true? I'm looking at something. I think it shows that it has a $5 discount for 15 more days, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, on the Xbox Store, it's down to 10:04, and it says 15 days remaining on that, which means I am going to snap that up when I get paid next Wednesday, for sure.
Well, there you go. With a launch discount, I didn't realize that it had a launch discount down to only $10.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to give this game a buy at 15, but at 10, it is, like, a no-brainer purchase.
The screenshots look so amazing. Like, the game looks incredible.
I mean,
does it actually look that incredible?
It looks good. It moves good. There are some frame rate stutters that I encountered here and there, but nothing that completely would ruin the experience for me.
Yeah, I'm used to frame rate stutter on Xbox anyway with a lot of games.
Yeah, but overall, for $15, it's a really, really solid 3D platformer. You're going to have camera issues, but that's...
standard
every that is I think that's just a feature at this point.
Yeah, it's just like, do you want to play a game that's 3D platformer? Then you want to play a game that has a weird camera. That's just how it is.
Yeah, like I said, it is linear enough to keep you wanting to move forward, but it's still open enough to encourage a little bit of exploration. It feels like a 3D platform for the current generation, where people just don't have the time that we used to.
Yeah.
So it's something that you can sit down and beat in a weekend and complete in a weekend instead of like, oh my god, this is going to be a chore to get everything.
Yeah, this looks pretty damn cool. I think I'm going to jump on it while it's on the discount. Like, why not?
Do it up. So yeah, for $15, it is a buy it. For the launch discount of $10, it's a holy shit, you need to buy it.
Yeah, don't miss out. Like, this is a pretty decent sized discount too, because considering that's how much you'd probably get knocked off on a regular sale.
Yeah, but yeah, overall good week in general. A lot of good stuff. The Surge, Demo, Seasons After Fall, Human Fall Flat, Skylarm Plux, all absolutely worth your time.
Yeah, there was no game. I think the lowest rated game was a recommended try it.
Yeah.
I could not give either of the games I played any less than a buy it. I mean, yeah. with the Surge, I mean, you have the classification that you have to be into those kind of games, but still, if you're into those, this is just another great one to add.
Yeah, so anyway, awesome week, awesome lineup of games, the sale going on. I like how this was supposed to be a shorter episode, but we just talked way too much about the surge and about the sales and fun shit like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, stick around. We're going to take a quick musical break. We will be back with our interview with Mike Cook talking about Anti-Graviator. Check that one out on Kickstarter. The link is going to be in the description below. So do that and back the game and give them money.
That makes sense. Yeah, do it. Do it.
So, CJ, any final words to end this?
Who wants to give me $25? I need more games on the backwards compatibility sale.
Welcome back, everyone. My guest at this time, calling from the team Cybernetic Walrus, is Mike Cook. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Good to have you on the show to talk about your game, Anti-Graviator?
Anti-Graviator. It's basically a contraction between anti-gravity and aviator, which makes it Anti-Graviator, I guess.
Sounds good. I know, at least in America, we say aviator, so that's why. You never know. Words are crazy. So, but your game is on Kickstarter right now. It is a high-speed, high-velocity spaceship racing game. Why don't you give us the sales pitch? Tell us what this game is, what it's all about, because you know better than me.
I should know. So the idea of Anti-Graviator is that you are a futuristic racer. You have a couple of racetracks you can go through, and there's a small twist to it, and that's that you have the ability to trigger environmental traps on your opponents. So it's a bit of inspired by Wipeout, F-Zero, Redout, all of these anti-gravity racing games, I guess, but it's also a bit inspired on Split Second, for the people that know that, so where you also have like a kind of a system of traps. So it's a bit of a combination of the two, I guess. We used those two genres as an inspiration for our game.
And I'm excited because longtime listeners of our show will probably know that we love Split Second on this show. Like, so many racing games out there have awesome legacies and talk about them all the time, but Split Second just seems to be one of those games that slipped under the radar just enough that when you remember it, you're like, oh my god, yeah, that game was awesome.
Yeah, I can imagine. I actually talked to one of the developers like a couple of months ago, or at least a person that also worked on the game. And he told me that it was a blast to work on the game, and that it was sad that it was not a commercial success, actually. So it didn't do that well for the company.
Yeah, I remember that in Blur from Bizarre Creations, released basically at the same time, at least over here in the U.S. And neither of them just seemed to catch on because they were just competing with each other. And it was a shame because they're both amazing games.
Yeah, I agree.
What made you guys want to take the inspiration from that game of the destructible environments?
Well, I should talk a bit about the history of the game, because I guess most people, when we show Anti-Graviator or it gets posted somewhere, then a lot of people say, oh, there's another Wipeout clone and this and that. But to be honest, it actually started more as a school project. We are or Cybernetic Walrus. We are a company. We are formed as a company, but we're actually still four students.
Which, by the way, I love that company name. Cybernetic Walrus is amazing.
Yeah, we thought it was funny too, so that's why we kept it. So as I was saying, we're still students, actually. Now we're more like atypical student, because for me, myself, I'm already 41 years old. So it's not that I've been in school up until I'm 41, but I've already worked a bit and decided to go back to get a bachelor degree. And I love games. So I thought, yeah, why not make like my hobby or my interest into my profession? So and it started as an idea for a school project, the game. We wanted actually to make a game where one player would race and the other player, through mini games or through manipulating things, would actually like use the environment to try and stop the other player from winning, and then they would reverse roles. And that's actually how it started. It was like, for school, you had like a couple of rules you needed to follow, and one of them was like it had to be 5 minutes of fun. So we thought, actually, what would be the most fun 5 minutes to destroy your friendship in? And we thought, if you can actually like hamper people and like make them frustrated at you. But trying that concept out, it didn't really work well for us. So we decided it would actually be more fun if two people would actually race together. It was the idea from the start to make it futuristic. And that also has to do with basically the school project being it a bit easier to, if you have to texture and model things, to do sci-fi, it works a bit easier. You can do a lot more in the time. So that's why we wanted to go with something futuristic. And then during the development, you know, people go like, oh, but do you know this game and do you know that game? And you should look at Wipeout, you should look at Split Second, you should look at this game. And basically that's where you then get your inspiration from to get where you are now. Now, I have to say, the graphics back then didn't look anything what they look like now. So we've been really improving them since the last 3-4 months.
Yeah, I saw a supercut video on YouTube of like some of the early prototype footage of the game compared to the footage of how the game looks now. And amazingly, I was able to run the demo on my computer. It wasn't at the highest settings because my computer is a piece of shit. But I did have the game running, and I thought even on the lower settings, the game looked really good.
Yeah. We have two amazing artists. So as I was saying, we're more like atypical students. We have one person from Hungary working on the game with us, a student, and then the other person is from Lithuania. So we're kind of also an international team. But we all live in Belgium, and we formed our company in Belgium.
Is it just the four of you guys right now, or do you have other people working with you?
It's actually just the four of us, so we're just two artists and two developers. There's nobody else working except for one guy we hired to do the soundtrack for the game, Michael Maas. He's a German guy we found through the internet, and he is also amazing, if you ask me. He has done like, he is known more in the world of trailers. He's done trailers for the O.J. Simpson series, for Maze Runner, for Spider-Man 2. Like, a lot of his music is used for trailers for those things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's now actually studying like game music, and he was looking for a project to do. So that's how we actually partnered up with him.
That's really cool. Yeah, because the music in the game is fantastic.
Yeah. Most people like it, so do we, and we think Michael is really doing an amazing job.
So you said this started off as a student project. What led you guys to be like, hey, we're having fun with this, why don't we make this a real, legit thing?
It was actually, well, first off, because it was a school project, it was graded, of course, and the grades were like really high for us. So that kind of made it like, they like it. And then we actually got asked, there was like this Belgian television show they were actually making, and it's more like for, it's more for children, like the age between, I don't know, let's say 10 and 12. And they were making a show about video games, and they asked if we wanted to be featured in one of the episodes. And so that happened, and then the game was on television, and then we entered some competitions to showcase the game at some indie fairs. One of them was Indigo in the Netherlands. And yeah, we got invited to showcase there. And then we got invited to Indie Games Play. We got invited to like a couple of others, but yeah, seeing we're still students also, money is kind of tight, because yeah, you have to have it to travel to places, and you have to stay in places, and yeah. So we've been to a couple of them to showcase mostly close to where we live, so we can actually get there by car. But yeah, that's how it goes now. And because of those shows, we thought like, yeah, people seem to like it. People seem to play it. We were actually also at Gamescom last year in Germany. And that was actually at the booth of our school. They asked if we wanted to show the game. And also there we had a lot of good feedback. And that, yeah, from one thing led to another, like thinking, why wouldn't we do more with this? Why wouldn't we take this in production? And then we actually got a good deal with a company that's kind of tied to the school. Because normally in the last semester, you have to do an internship. And we actually got the possibility to do the internship but working on Anti-Graviator. So we're not really doing an internship in our own company, but like our company is in the other company and we're doing Anti-Graviator. So, I mean, for us, that's amazing, because that means that near the end of the internship, we'll have like almost a fully complete game. I think we're going to do like 2 or 3 more months of work on it. And then we should have something ready to release without us. I mean, if we would have like finished school first and then have to start working on it, yeah, people need to eat and they need money, so you would need some way to finance yourself. And now it's kind of, because it's still part of the school thing, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, wow. So how long have you guys been working on it? Like when did it first start?
It started February 2016. That's when we started like with the first prototypes and the concepts. But as said, it was a school project, and you have to like realize that we only had 12 weeks to work on it, and that's together with other courses. So, I mean, it comes down to working like 1 or 2 full days during those during those 12 weeks. And then like you have some prep before the exam. So that's maybe another 5 days that you actually work on the project. Yeah, so and we did actually 2 semesters working on it before the internship. So if you calculate the total, it's like 1.5 years, but it's not really 1.5 years of full-time development, if you know what I mean.
Wow, that's actually really impressive how much you guys got done in such a short amount of time, because mechanically the game works really well, the game looks really well. This feels like something that a bigger team could have easily put a good 2.5 years into, and just a team of 4 did it in less than 1.5 years. That's really impressive.
Yeah, as I said, we have like I have 2 great artists. They've always been top of the class here. I mean, their work is featured on the school's website a lot. Even like the brochure for the school has work of them on the front. And then as far as development go, of course, I'm a bit older. I already have a bit of experience, which helps, of course. I wasn't a developer before I went back to school, but I was in the IT sector and I did some scripting, and I knew, of course, a bit about development. And the other person on our team, Peter, he's a civil engineer in applied physics. So he's really good with everything mathematics and physics. And that's also important for a game like this. So I guess that's also how we can progress. I have to say, though, that this team we have now is not the original team that started the project. There were two other people involved before, and also they did an amazing job on it, but they decided to do other things. One person wanted to work in a bigger company instead of working or starting an indie, and the other guy that did the art, he had to redo some courses, so he couldn't be part of the internship. And yeah, that's how things are, how they are now.
Yeah, hey, can't always keep a full team together the whole time, but it sounds like the four of you are pretty solid core. You mentioned that you have, two more months worth of work to do before you feel that the game is ready for consumption?
Yeah, it's going to be something like that. We are aiming towards a release in September. That's what we're aiming for. That's also what we put on the Kickstarter. So an exact date is not being set, because we also know that we still have like Gamescom coming up, where we will actually be for certain in the business area, but maybe also having a booth in the entertainment area. And all of these things also need planning, so that might mess up our plans a little bit for the development schedule. But we'll have to see how much progress we make. We're currently working on the multiplayer full time. So that's going to be an online multiplayer where we use dedicated servers to play the game, and that's also taking some time to get implemented. But normally, if all goes as planned, we should be ready early, mid, late September, somewhere in that area.
That's exciting that you to hear that you guys are working on online. I know a lot of indie developers, they just don't feel that the online is worth the time and the effort for an indie title, so it's good to hear that you guys are focused on that.
Oh yeah, I think for our game it's very important to have it. I think it's one of the most important features to have, but of course it takes a lot to get it done, but we definitely want it in there, because I think it's, I mean, for the longevity of the game, I think the multiplayer is gonna be one of the most important aspects, and we want to make it like really competitive. We want to have rankings, we want to have all of these things, so that's what we're aiming for.
Are you looking to have 4-player online, 8-player online?
We're looking at 8 players, so we're not going to go above 8 players, that's for sure. Also, the game started out as a head-to-head racing game where you only had 2 players. We changed that in the last few months, so you can actually have 8 players. So we now support 4-player split screen already. So you have 2-player split screen. That's locally. And then you can have 4 bots racing with you. But the idea would be that you would always have like 8 players. That's the design of the courses we have now, that it should support 8 players. So we're not going to go above that. I'm pretty sure of it, but 8 players should be doable.
How many courses are you guys looking to have in the game?
At the moment, we are set on having 12 courses. So we have 4 different environments. So we have the city environment. We have like the desert environment. We have like the ice snow environment. And then we have like an outer space environment. And we want to have 3 tracks on each of them, and we also want them to be able to be played in reverse. So basically it's 12 tracks but kind of 24 with a bit of cheating, if you know what I mean.
Hey, mirror mode counts.
Yeah, the thing is that seeing the development, I mean, it takes a while to create a course, of course. So if we can do more, we'll probably do more, but we have to be realistic about it, and we'll see. 12 for sure, maybe more, we'll see.
Yeah, back in our day, when you wanted to double the length of a game, mirror mode, that's how you did it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it worked.
I'm not 100% for it, to be honest. I mean, it's the team that said, yeah, we have to do it, so there's more content. And like other people, so the community that follows us, like a couple of people also said like, yeah, why don't you mirror them? And then, yeah, I said like, okay, let's do it. At least people have more courses to play on. The only thing is, to me, it looks kind of cheap, and that's not what we want. But I guess if people like it, I mean, we have to do it.
I don't know. I don't think it's cheap at all. I think it makes sense because, you know, if you're driving one way around a track, you could drive the other way as well.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I mean, yeah, unless it's a one-way street, but then, I don't know, you just, it's like the Looney Tunes cartoons where you just flip the sign.
Yeah, yeah.
And it pointing the other way now.
But that's basically what we have to do, flip some signs, and then we have a reverse track.
So what is your goal with the Kickstarter? Because it sounds like a big bulk of the development is done. Is this mainly for like a publicity thing and to help with marketing and stuff like that?
It is a bit of publicity for the game. And it was also like we wanted to see what the reaction would be on the Kickstarter. This was probably not the most like planned out Kickstarter that's ever been done. And you can actually see that on the numbers. I also think, looking back, our community was too small, but the Kickstarter was like a good excuse to like contact people and like, you know, get the word of the game out. So that's more of the reason why we wanted to do it. And of course, we actually also, it's kind of dumb and it's kind of funded, but like the extra fund would really come in handy just to do a bit more of polishing. There's like a small part of the fee going indeed into marketing, and it's all of these things combined. So most of the money goes still to the development, but a small part into marketing. And as said, the Kickstarter as a whole is also used by us to get the game publicly out there.
Now, I know a lot of people, like, if their Kickstarter doesn't make it, that's kind of the end of the project. But it seems to me that you guys are deep in enough with this that even if the Kickstarter doesn't make it, the game is still going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, the game is still going to happen. I can assure you that the game is still going to happen even if the Kickstarter does not make it. But, of course, it would be a lot nicer if it does make it, although it doesn't look good at the moment.
Hey, there's still 2 weeks, so anything can happen.
I know. Strange things can happen. Only one large site needs to pick it up, and who knows what happens. I mean, we see that if like this week, earlier this week, a post on Reddit on the Xbox One forum went viral, kind of. I mean, so it was picked up by a lot of people, and then you see the money shoot up a little bit.
Yeah, so that's actually where I found out about the game, was someone posting about it on Reddit. And the thing that caught my eye was the fact that you guys are aiming for Steam and Xbox One, which yes, I'm excited about because we're Xbox fans on the show. We cover everything, but our hearts lie with the Xbox, and it's exciting to see a team that is going with Xbox first instead of like a stretch goal, 4/5 of the way down the list of stretch goals.
Yeah. No, there's also for us, the reason is like there are like two main reasons. One of the reasons I already told you, it was a school project, and one of the things we had to do was use Xbox 360 controllers. So that's made it kind of like, oh yeah, we should do it for Xbox. And another thing is that we think on Xbox, there isn't really a flagship anti-gravity racing game. I mean, if you look at PlayStation, everybody says Wipeout. If you look at Nintendo, they say like F-Zero or now even Fast Racing Air Mix. But yeah, I don't think for Xbox, there is really like a game like it. So that's also one of the reasons we wanted to aim towards that platform.
Have you guys been in touch with Microsoft at all to see if maybe you could get their backing in this game?
The only thing we've done for Microsoft is like apply for dev kits, and those have been approved, so they're already on our desk. So Yeah, that's dumb, but to really see if they want to invest in it, that's not really what we did.
Ah, okay. Is this looking to be something that launches at the same time on PC and Xbox, or is it going to be like PC first with an eventual console release?
at the moment, it's kind of going to depend. If we don't make the Kickstarter, then it will release on PC first and then on Xbox for sure. I mean, that's something that we are certain of if we don't make the Kickstarter. If we should still make the Kickstarter, then it would probably be a simultaneous launch because then we have a bit more funds to attribute to doing it simultaneously. It could happen for both, but then I guess the release will be, as I said, it will be more like mid to late September.
All right. For the PC, are you guys going to Steam or are you guys looking into possibly the Windows 10 store?
At the moment, it's not going to be Windows 10. So it's not going to be like a Play Anywhere game, I guess.
All right.
We're looking towards Steam. We are already greenlit on Steam, so we have the right to publish the game there. That's also why we wanted to keep it on Steam first. Now we want to maybe do a DRM-free release later on and put it maybe on itch.io and Good Old Games and all of these sites. But that would also be later because all of these things like add to the development time. We want to just make sure we have a good core game on two platforms ready for release instead of like taking on all that extra work. As we already said, it's only a team of four people and a day is only like, 24 hours. So
they're not long enough, man. Days are not long enough.
I have to agree with you on that.
I don't have time to think anymore, let alone I can't imagine trying to put together a game. I could barely put my shoes on anymore. So.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, I wasn't sure if you guys were looking into the Play Anywhere or not, since you're looking for online. I'm not sure if you guys would consider the Play Anywhere to have the cross-platform play or anything.
As far as it goes for us, we are using Unity to develop the game, and we still have to do some tests with cross-platform. But seeing we are using dedicated servers, it should be possible for both players to play on the same machine. That's at least what we're thinking right now. But again, we still have to do some tests towards those things.
Nice. I am very excited for that. What else would you want to tell me about the game? For someone who hasn't been paying attention to it, or if there's anyone out there who doesn't know about the game at all, like, how would you want to get our attention and get us focused on the Kickstarter to possibly help back this, or if nothing else, to just keep us aware of this game and the fact that it's coming?
Well, the thing I would like just to add is, and I would like to everybody to know that, please, this is not a Wipeout or an F-Zero clone, because that's usually the first thing we see when we talk about the game. Yes, it's inspired by them, and yes, of course, some of the visuals will like inspire people to think it's the same thing, but it's really not. And if you want to try it, the game is the alpha at least. It's free to download. It's still an alpha. You need to take that into account that it will still have a few bugs in it, and not all things are final in it. But just try it. I mean, if we look and give feedback, that's what we love. Even if it's bad feedback, especially if it's bad feedback, I mean, just tell us. It's not, now is the time to tell us, because now we can still change some of those things. So, and we just want to put out a good game. So, and that's also a reason why you should back our Kickstarter, because if you back it and there's more money, there's more we can do.
So what kind of feedback have you guys gotten so far about the game?
It's actually pretty positive so far. I mean, if you look at GameJolt, where that's where we point to as the main site to download the game, at the moment. If you look purely at that, we are on a rating of, I think, 4.3, 4.4 out of 5. So that's not bad, if you ask me. So the feedback we're getting is, yeah, they know it's not done. There isn't a lot of content for it right now. So but that's going to change. That's something we're working on.
And that you don't want to give the full game away already. I mean,
that would be stupid. We're not going to sell anything. the idea of also doing something like this is that you at least make some money to make a next game. That's what we hope to do. I mean, you have to sustain a business. There's four people that need to sustain a family. That's why you make a product like this and hope that it sells so you can actually maintain a business like this.
Like I said, I had some time with the demo myself, despite the fact that my computer is garbage. I really enjoyed my time with it. I think my only issue with it was trying to get used to how quickly the ship turns and how tight the turning is, where I feel I would just nudge the stick and I'm already slamming into walls.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I know it's probably, if your PC is a bit slow, it might not be the best thing, but you have those air brakes you can use, and you really need to use them on some of the corners so you don't slam into them.
Yeah, I watch video of people playing them, and they are navigating perfectly. I'm like, why can't I be that good?
Yeah, well, I know it's frustrating for newer players, but we want to make the courses not too easy, if that makes sense, because then everybody will be just like playing that, and there's no learning curve to them. So that's what we try to do. We try to make them a bit hard, and it might seem like you're slamming into walls left and right all the time, but if you spend some time on it, you'll actually learn the course. And you'll see that it makes sense, and you'll know where the turns are, and it will become easier to get like the perfect driving line. And you definitely need to learn how to use like the air brakes and the barrel roll to maneuver correctly through the course.
Yeah, it's not a game where you just hold the accelerate the entire time and plow through everything. You have to be, it needs some finesse.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, especially because, as I was saying, we're putting time in making an online multiplayer, and where's the skill if everybody can, if it was just like a straight track, where would be the skill in that? Everybody would be as good as the speed of their ship. So so we want to have like that small competitive edge in there, and that's probably why. Why you're slamming into walls right now, but I can tell you, play a couple of times, learn how to use those air brakes, and you'll do a lot better.
I was definitely getting better near the end of my time with the limited amount of time I've had to play with it. I had a hectic day, so unfortunately I didn't get to put more than, I'd say, about an hour into the game, but near the end of that time I was definitely doing significantly better than when I started.
Yeah, I can imagine. So yeah, it comes with a bit of a learning curve. I don't think it's too steep, but still it's there. And also the first track we have in there at the moment is actually the worst track to go on, because that really has a couple of short turns. So we'll probably change up the order in which the tracks are, to have a much easier track at the beginning. But yeah, it's a bit of a learning curve, I guess.
So just a little bit of balancing in terms of maybe an easier tutorial course to throw people onto?
Yeah, I don't think the tutorial course itself, I mean, the tutorial, there is a tutorial course in a small desert scene. That shouldn't be too hard to navigate through, I guess. But it's like the first course in the game that has a lot of like sharp turns, which is
the city one.
Yeah, the city one. Yeah, that's what I mean. So there is a small tutorial level. If you create an account, you have the ability to say, I want to play the tutorial, and then you go through a tutorial level, which is like desert based. It's a small level, teaches you how to use the brakes and everything. So people need to try that. And at the moment, if you haven't like checked that in the demo we have now, you can't get it back, I guess, the tutorial level. So, but that's going to change.
Because I may have skipped the tutorial. I might have been thinking, hey, I've played racing games. I know what I'm doing. I played the original F-Zero, so I can handle all of this.
Yeah, I can imagine. But again, it's not F-Zero. It's Anti-Graviator.
You mentioned that there's air brakes and barrel rolls, and you're going to have destructible environments for the traps and the courses. What else is going to set your game apart from everyone else out there?
Well, it's also the way we do the tracks. I'm sure you played the desert level where you have like the canyon to go through with different splits and all of that. That's something we are focusing a bit more on, so that you have like multiple ways to go about the track. And that's also plays into the destructible environment. Sadly, something that didn't make it in the demo, and maybe some people have found it, but if you go to the ice level at a certain point, you have to drive over a set of rocks where you have like what we call minor units. They like stump the ground. There's also a bug with the sound, so people will probably know what I'm talking about, because usually the sound bugs out in that area. But if you actually drive off the cliff there, it's open on one side, you have a piece of track underneath. And the idea was that you can actually destroy that part of the track, and then the course would alter forever. You would always drop down and have to take that other route. It's things like that we're still working on.
It's kind of like throwing it back to Split Second, but like when you would destroy the dam and then the entire course changed for the rest of the race.
Yeah, Split Second does that like in a couple of their tracks where they change the way the track works. So that's also something we're doing.
I am so excited that you guys are making somewhat of a spiritual successor to Split Second, because I really enjoyed that game. And every time racing comes up on this show, we always find a way to circle back around a Split Second somehow.
Yeah, well, see, it worked again.
Oh, man. So is there anything else that you wanted to talk about or that you wanted to address?
Oh, I think we've addressed most things. The only thing we might not have addressed is like the vehicle customization that we're going to do. So most of these type of games, they usually have like a ton of vehicles where you can choose between with like different speeds and different handlings. We're probably going to focus on just three vehicles in the beginning, but with different parts sets, so you can like customize your vehicle a bit and like play with the handling yourself, play with the speed yourself, so that it should work better for your style of play. And that's also something that's still in development. And then I think we covered most of the game after that.
Nice. Is there any plans, if the game does well, for like future content of extra tracks or extra vehicles or anything like that? Or is that still like, you know, let us focus on the game first?
No, of course you play with that idea, because also on the Kickstarter, you have to think about what would be the stretch goals on the Kickstarter. And there's definitely going to be more tracks, so we want to do like different worlds with other tracks in it. So we've been thinking about that. We've also been thinking about maybe doing like a hover bike DLC or something, where you could play like with hover bikes instead of these vehicles. So it's there's plenty of ideas, but again, it will also depend on how the game does, because if it doesn't sell, there's no money to do those things. So no, it will depend on that.
So what kind of stretch goals are you guys thinking of?
At the moment, so the first stretch goal we have is a PS4 development. Again, that's also going to happen if the game sells well. We definitely want to go and bring the game to PS4, because it also has a huge install base, and yeah, we know there's a lot of people that, that liked Wipeout there, so it, it might do well on that console. So we're definitely looking at that. And then there's a there's the DLC for a track. There's actually two in there. A couple of them are still hidden. There's also a port to the Switch.
Nice.
So yeah, again, these are stretch goals. And if they're not, if we can't get them by doing the Kickstarter, then they will be something we might do in the future. If the game does well.
Have any PlayStation fans been bugging you about a Vita version?
That's not on the current agenda to do a Vita version. So right. I doubt that we will do that, but hey, you never know, right?
Yeah, I know the Vita audience out there is very passionate. And anytime games get mentioned about a PlayStation release, they're like, what about Vita? What about Vita? What about Vita?
I can't imagine, but I don't, at the moment, it's for us, it's also hard to say because I haven't really looked into Vita, and we also have to look at the specs of the device, because at the moment, yeah, you've noticed that it does require a bit of hardware to run the game. Mm-hmm. We still have to do some optimization on it. But it does require, yeah, a decent PC, so it might not be viable to do it on the Vita. So that's something we have to look into. I mean, it also has to do with like the look we want to keep on the art of the game.
Yeah. So what kind of fun Kickstarter rewards are you guys offering for the higher tiers?
The higher tiers, we have a couple of things. Like the first high tier is like a $200 one, in which you can actually name one of the tracks. So we have, as we said, 12 tracks. So we want the people to be able to give the track a name, and you will be able to hide like an Easter egg in the track that you will know where it is, and it's for other people to find. So that's one of the things we want to do. Then we have a 500 reward in which you can design a skin together with one of our artists. So you don't need to have any artistic skills. I mean, we will guide you through the process of doing it and like work together on making a skin for the game, so that skin will then be entered. By the way, we also are running a contest right now for the people that are artistic, in which they can actually design their skin, and also the winning skin of that contest is going to be in the game.
Oh, nice.
So more information about that can be found on our website. So we're doing that. And then there's like a higher tier. We have a lot of billboarding, especially in the city level, and we thought, well, let's try and rent those out so people could like have a billboard. It's set a bit higher because we kind of had hoped some companies might want that. So far, nobody's shown interest, but it's there. Then we have the design of vehicle. So at the moment, there's only one vehicle in the alpha. We are still holding on, waiting to develop the last one. I want to do that together with somebody who, yeah, pledges to that tier. So there's only one of those. And the last and the most expensive one is one where you come to Gamescom and you get to spend an entire day with us. We provide you with lodging. We provide you with entrance tickets to Gamescom. You will be able to visit the business area with us. You will be able to walk around Gamescom to visit our booth, and then in the evening have dinner with us, ask all the questions you want. I know this is expensive, but this is really for the ultimate fan. That's why we also call it the ultimate fan. Also in that reward is like a huge 2x3 meter banner that you can hang in your living room. So with art from our game, and I mean, if you've seen our roll-up banners, they really do look amazing. So imagine having like a 2x3 poster hanging on your wall. So that's meters. I don't know what that compares to in foot, but it's huge.
I think it's like 6 foot by 9 foot.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Should be something around that, I guess. So I guess the wives won't be happy with that, but it would be it's a cool piece to have.
Is that kind of like the banner that you guys are posing next to in your team photograph on the Kickstarter?
Yeah, it's well, it's going to be a different image, but that's the quality you will get.
Nice. Clearly, my show needs to hold a fundraiser of its own so that we could get in on that, the track owner, and we'll have the SML pod race course.
Yeah, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. You know, we still have to do an approval of the name, of course, because we don't want people to call a course PP Caca or something. So, I mean, it has to fit the style a bit, but yeah, I guess that could fit. That could fit.
I don't know. PP Caca is a pretty good racetrack name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't know. I kind of like that race course name, PP Caca. have it in like a lake area. It could be like Lake PP Caca.
Yeah, Lake PP Caca. Yeah, it could. Maybe something like that could work. But
the PP Caca Desert.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an old ancient civilization name, PP Caca. Oh, no, it's not gross. What are you talking about?
It depends on how you write it, of course. It could be funny, but it could be the wrong thing to do also. So, I mean, we just want to avoid, like, having those names. It's still, well, I think it's still kind of serious, even though we like to kid around and to make fun, but it's still, for us, it's still a professional thing we want to do, so needs to be good.
Indeed, I agree. Well, I know I have been having fun with the demo itself. I'm hoping that you guys make it with the Kickstarter. I am eager to see this game make it to Xbox One, eventually make it to PS4, hopefully make it to Switch as well. It's been fantastic having you on chatting about the game. I'm excited about this one.
I'm glad you are, and it was fun to be on the show.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we wrap up?
I guess we covered most things, so
I just want to make sure that no stone is left unturned. I want to cover everything we can about this game.
Yeah, I think we turned a lot of stones already.
Well, how can people keep up to date with you and up to date with the game?
You can follow us on our Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. There's our website. Now, the website doesn't contain a lot of information about the game. We usually post these things on Facebook and on Twitter. So if you want to know what's going on, like, follow us there, like us there, and you will be in sync with what we're doing and what we're working on. So those are the places to go to.
Sounds good. Well, Mike, it has been fantastic having you on the show. The game is called Anti-Graviator. It is on Kickstarter now. You have plenty of time to get on there and give it a back. Mike, do you have any final words to end this episode of the show?
Well, it was great to be on the show, and I hope that at least people that see the show and listen to it, check out the Kickstarter website. And again, if you played the demo, leave us some feedback. I mean, now is the time to do it.